6 in the morning.
So what you want to do?
What you want to do?
I got a pockets full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So crack out the lights and close the door. But for what?
We don't know those hoes. Does that feel good?
I got to put drops in my ear tomorrow. My ear's swelling up.
This show is brought to you by Club W.
That's right.
Go to clubw.com/Joey right now to get $20 off of your first order. That's clubw.com/Joey to get $20 off of your first order. And it gets even better. If you hate paying for shipping, Club W understands and will pay for your shipping on orders of 4 bottles or more. If you pay, that's right. If you get 4 bottles or more at clubw.com/Joey, you're going to get $20 off of your first order, and Club W is going to pay for your shipping. Go to onnit.com and use code word church to save 10% on all their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Trum Tech Immune, and Trum Tech Sport.
I'm serious. Oh shit. Hey man, give me some bubble gum in this motherfucker. Give me some bubble gum in this motherfucker. It's Monday, May 22nd or something like that. Wash your pussy, scrub your feet. Jesus is coming to town, motherfuckers. Jezame Peluso's here.
Yeah, I wash my feet and I wash my puss. Somehow, some
way. Oh shit. Coming up with funky ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something? What? Oh shit. Break it down, bitches. What? What? Oh shit. Still jumping because my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room. Getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you wanna do?
Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too.
The church of what's happening now. What?
But what?
We don't love them hoes, yeah.
So we gon' smoke an ounce to this.
G's up, hoes down, where you motherfuckers bounce. What? This is it, motherfuckers. Kick that muley.
Lay back. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking window, sipping on gin and juice. Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money.
Now I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't.
Take that pipe out, bitches. It's that time. The church of what's happened now, you bad motherfuckers. It's a beautiful Monday night to be alive. Jessamay Peluso in studio. My favorite fucking Jewish person in the world, Lisa Ayat.
Hey.
Mushrooms, edibles. We don't give a fuck here on the church. What's the story, Jessamay? Talk to me.
I'm just looking at how fresh and green this shit looks.
Oh,
in
this
bowl.
Shit is tremendous. Tremendous reef. I
it looks
over.
like a golf course.
Yeah, no, this is some tremendous motherfucking weed. One thing here, I take my weed seriously.
Yeah, where you said you stopped over where?
Perennial.
Oh, that's right, Perennial.
Perennial got some good, I get the top shelf shit, I go in there. The two top shelfers, they give it to you in the glass tubes.
Yeah, that's nice.
And they have everything else, and they have everything else. They got a nice weed there, I go there. I go to Sunset Herbal, they got some fucking good-looking reefer there, dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I took some Girl Scout Thin Mint.
Cookies?
Oh, shit.
I love edibles.
No. This was reefer.
Oh, shit.
That was fucking dark and...
Oh, it was called Girl Scout Thin Mint.
Yeah,
I'm like,
got,
I love
they
cookies.
They got Mickey Mouse that's kicking, and they got fucking Exclusive that's kicking. They ain't fucking around over there.
I do love edibles, though. You like edibles?
Come on. My middle name is fucking edibles.
Is it your brunch?
Yeah. Dog, I got a brownie here. I don't know how old it is. I don't fuck you up. It'll take you into the next dimension. It's amazing the edible... What's happened with edibles? Like, how many fucking people come up to me and they go, you know what? I stopped smoking.
Yeah.
I'm saving my lungs. I'm just going to fucking eat edibles. It took me a while to get adjusted to them, you know, because they give you a weird feeling. It creeps up on you weird.
Yeah, it's like a fuzzy feeling.
Really? I like it. Like, someone just asked me. Someone said they were new to edible, to marijuana. And they said, well, what strains do you smoke? And I said, honestly, just do edibles. I like it way better. Unless it's like... I want to be high for 30 minutes.
Yeah, and edibles, like, that high is a full body. Full body high.
It fucks you up for a while.
It fucks you up.
This time I catch myself in the living room, I'm fucking hammered.
Hammered.
And my wife knows I'm fucking hammered in the living room. Like, point to drooling.
Like she's telling me, Joe, go to bed. Joe, go to bed. And I'm hammered.
It feels good, though.
And you wake up in the middle of the night, you're still hammered to pee. That's the fucking clinker. Sometimes you wake up.
Middle of the night. What about the next morning?
The next morning.
And for me, it doesn't hit right away. Like if I'm in bed, I'm okay. But then as soon as I start walking around, I'm like,
you feel it that much. I've heard you even sound fucked up till about 10 or 11. I could tell. Like, we do like 800-900 milligrams because you have to sweat it out the next day. It's like like eating a Valium. In the old days, somebody go, oh, eat a 10-milligram Valium. You eat a Valium, the next day and a half, you're sluggish.
Yeah.
Because it's time release, so it sits in your fat. Like, a lot of times I'll eat a Valium at night, and I'll go to bed at 3. I'll wake up at 8 on the road, go eat breakfast, go eat the hotel breakfast, smoke a joint, go on a computer, and pass out at 10.
Yeah.
And I'm still off the fumes.
You still got some resonated stuff.
Once you kick that motherfucking coffee in there with a little tutsuruts, it lifts that fucking tits. It lifts up that fucking reefer right back to where it is.
I was high in the plane like 2 days ago because I had an edible the night before to help me go to sleep and just chill. And on the flight, I was messed up, man. I was just, this lady, I travel with my dogs, right? And I sat down at the bar in the hotel. I was coming from, where the fuck was I? North Carolina.
So you were at the Helium in North Carolina?
No, I was at the Comedy Zone, North Carolina Comedy Zone.
Great club.
They want you, but they've been asking for you. Yeah. And I was sitting at the airport bar, and this lady made me sit at the disabled chairs because I had my dog with me. I was like, it's an emotional support pet. She's like, you got to sit in the handicap chairs. She made me sit in the handicap chairs, and I was high off these edibles. Like, yo, am I handicapped right now?
She made you change your seat.
She made me change my, and it was 4 feet lower than the bar stools. So I literally got sat at the fucking kids' table at the bar and ordered a big ass beer and some oysters like a goddamn lady sitting at the disabled person's chair.
Just because you had a dog?
Just because I had a dog. Would my disabled person have a dog?
Yeah, they're fucked up at airports now. Again, I tell you, Chicago scared the shit out of me the other day, guys.
Why?
Really?
I'm no swami. But something's going to happen in Chicago.
Why do you think that?
I'll tell you why. Because for some reason, they've been showing those TSA lines, how they've been letting people spend the night. Okay, that's number one. I don't like that.
They're letting people spend the night?
Like, there were two-hour lines. So they're telling people now, if you're flying to Chicago and big airports, 3 hours. I might as well not fly. I could walk there. The 3 and the 4 flight and the fucking hour to land and get my luggage and get the taxi.
10 hours.
It's 10 fucking hours. If I start walking, I might beat it. So... the other day I flew into Chicago to connect into Pittsburgh, and I noticed something. I fly a lot through Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I fly a lot through Chicago, and I can make this assessment. Chicago was fucking packed.
Which one? O'Hara Midway.
O'Hara was packed.
And it's never good. It needs to be good when it's packed, but it never is.
I don't like it. I didn't like it. Packed to the amount that every food place, I mean, I had to walk like, you know, when you go to Chicago, you better be in shape.
That airport is fucking something.
Oh, shit. It was.
It's like an artery.
So I landed at 11, and my flight was boarding at 11:35. And as I walked in, I got there like 5 minutes early to let us off the plane. I walked 30 minutes straight. I didn't stop to eat. I didn't stop to pee. I walked 30 minutes fucking straight.
To where you had to go.
To where I had to go. As I was getting there, going, we're boarding in 3 minutes. I cut right through the fucking line and got in the plane. But I noticed how packed the airport.
And were there a lot of cancellations? Or this is just O'Hara
this is just regular
O'Hara,
traffic.
Brother. This is O'Hara,
O'Hara
on a Thursday.
It's chaotic
at 12 o'clock. But this was more than chaotic. There was a line at the Italian restaurant. I've been going to Chicago O'Hara for 12 years. I saw a fucking line at McDonald's. Now you go, Joey, yeah. No. This wasn't a line.
This is people that couldn't get food anywhere else.
This was the Starbucks was down the block. It was super packed, guys.
Was it like Burger King at LAX? You know that Burger King with like JetBlue and Virgin?
Yeah.
It's always like way down. It was that bad?
It was bad. Oh. It was bad.
That's
bad,
not
bad,
good.
That's not good.
In the TSA, you know, like last year, 95% of shit got through. 95% of them testing the TSA security got through.
Last week, I had a bag of weed in my fucking carry-on. What was happening was I had 2 or 3 different weeds, and I'm rolling joints over here, and one of the baggies fell off into my fucking carry-on bag. I put my computer over it. I walked through the fucking thing. No, better yet, they took my sleep apnea machine out, checked it for fucking illegal fuels, but they left the weed in there. The vapor pen.
Yes.
The lighter.
Yes, they did.
Because they tell you no lighters, no vapor pens. They went through.
You can't bring a lighter on?
No. And the vapor pens, they look like regular pens. So they're so stupid. They just take the pens out and look at them and don't even ask you.
I think all they look for is water bottles. Because like, every time I get something like that, I'll get stopped. Like toothpaste or if I ever get like that, I'll get stopped. But yeah, not. You travel every week with stuff.
I check my luggage every week.
Right.
I don't check. I don't want to bring my. Look, the worst habit we got is bringing shit on a fucking plane. Because at the end of the week, they're going to make you check it at the fucking thing anyway.
Yeah. They make you check it
anyway. They're going to make you check it anyway. So stop. Stop.
So, but so you they just check everything.
Free. Yeah, but see, it's smarter because you check it at the gate and it's free.
Oh, that's right.
But then you got to wait for your luggage to get
there. When you come back.
But who gives a fuck? You're sitting in coach. By the time you get in there, your fucking luggage is ready.
Yep.
So at least if you check it. But these people that bring their luggage in, for what? For what?
I know.
For what? To take up fucking space?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Unless you're going to... See, I always get upgraded to first class, especially after the last 3 years with Justin.
Hello.
So... I board the front plane first.
Yeah, me too, brother.
I don't give a fuck what's going on.
Bye, lady with the kids.
I don't give a fuck what's going on. I board that plane first.
Get comfortable.
And I always sit in 1D. You walk in that seat that you see, that's where I see. That little compartment, that's mine. Don't touch it. You don't need to touch it. You don't need to put your luggage in there. Listen to me.
Yeah.
That's a $3,000 sleep apnea machine in there. You touch that motherfucking embrace, I will break your fucking head. Don't even touch that fucking thing.
It's $3,000? And they
look at me. Well, yeah, I don't give a fuck what it is.
You say that to people?
Yeah, I tell them one time. There's no reason for you to touch that luggage. That's a little luggage for a little compartment.
Yeah.
And they look at me all weird. You know what? I did my homework and I got on the plane first.
Yeah.
So now I don't get like somebody came on yesterday. I got no compartment. She looked at me. I'm like deaf. I don't know nothing. I just kept looking straight ahead. You ain't putting your shit in there. I put a fucking blanket over it so it looked like there was more shit in there.
Yeah.
That bitch had to put her shit in the back. Fuck it. This is what happens. You want to be first class?
Jam it in there.
Get the fuck to the plane first. I checked that boarding time. That boarding time is my fucking Bible.
Yeah.
And everything around that boarding time is fucking it. Last week I went to LAX. My plane leaves at 5. My boarding time is at 4:30. Lee, how much do I love the hamburgers with the egg and the fucking fries?
You're a big fan of them.
The guy told me to put the order in at 4:20. He'd be in at 4:30. I sacrificed. I didn't eat that fucking burger with the egg on it. Because I wanted my seat first. So there's no misunderstandings.
Yeah.
I love traveling with you because like I don't get upgraded because I don't travel that often. But like he just takes me into the lines. He's like, just what are they going
to
say?
It's the attitude. You have to have that attitude.
Yeah, the attitude. And then he starts sweet-talking the like the TSA, the pre-ones, like the ones who were checking your ID before. He just, it's
I torment.
You do? What do you do?
What's happened? You're looking good today. What's going on?
You just bullshit. You do a little charm.
Yeah, fuck yeah. You got to talk to them because everybody treats them like strangers.
Yeah.
So you talk to them a little bit and they loosen up and talk to you.
Yeah.
Listen, not everybody's going to talk to you. Not everybody's going to appreciate your sense of humor, but... At that time in the morning, you got to give it a shot. I tell, you know who likes shit?
Who?
Black chicks.
The chicks like the compliments, right?
I work them all the time. I call them Beyonce, you bad motherfucker, you. Look at you. I should take you with me to L.A. L.A.? I've never been to L.A. Yeah, come on. Let's go. And meanwhile, you got fucking 10 bombs and a kid in a suitcase.
And you do this so you can get in the preferred line?
You got some kid yelling and screaming in your suitcase and they don't hear nothing because you're just talking to them.
You got some kid in your carry-on.
Yeah, who gives a fuck? They're talking to you and shit. You know, when you fly, you have to fly as is. You have to assume as you have $1 million in your pocket. If you see a dog, when I see dog and I have weed, I walk up to the dog.
You do?
Yeah, because even if the dog barks at me, they're not going to believe it. A drug offender would walk away from the dog. I walk towards the fucking dog. Yeah, last night I smoked 15 joints off. I said, quack, 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 quack. Meanwhile, you got 10 joints in your fucking carry-on bag. You know what I'm saying? I always have a joint in my check luggage.
I usually do,
right
too.
In the top with a fucking lighter. So when I get to parking, while the car's warming up, I'm toots-a-toots the joint. Chinese people pull up. Are you leaving? Not really. Chinese people always pull up at fucking LAX. Are you leaving? Do I look like I'm fucking leaving? I'm here smoking in the sun like Ozzy Osbourne in 69. And you want to know if I'm fucking leaving. Do I look like I'm fucking leaving?
Has anyone ever stolen it? Like any TSA people?
Never.
Not
I put
once?
It in a top compartment with Band-Aids. There's a bunch of shit in there. And I flip the joint underneath.
You got to tuck it in.
I tuck it in.
Tuck that motherfucker in.
You can't find it unless you fucking watch It Takes a Thief, 1969 with Robert Wagner. You can't find it. You can't find it.
You gotta have that smooth placement.
And then I have the lighter in the thing. So if they find the lighter, I'll say, you told me not to fly with lighters. So when I get off the thing, the first thing I do when I'm on that elevator going up the stairs to route floor number 3 is I unzip it. Boom, and there's my little pin joint. I take the lighter out. When I get off the airplane, when I get off the fucking elevator, clink, clink, I click the alarm in the car. I walk to it. I start the car. I put my luggage in, and right while I'm out there, 9 out of 10, I take my dick out, and I pee. I leave the door open. I make believe I'm putting my luggage in. Help, get in here. But meanwhile, the whole time I'm peeing on the guy's car next to me, I close the door. I light that fucking tutsuruts. And Chinese people start pulling up. Are you leaving? Do I look like I'm leaving?
Chinese
people always look. And they'll wait, too. Make them wait for
an hour.
They'll
pull out like a Sudoku and wait.
Pull over there, and I'm going to leave here in about 18 minutes. And they'll wait like
the entire time you smoke the joint.
But my parking is classic, see, because I park at 4 in the morning on Thursday.
To get front.
I'm 10 feet from the fucking elevator. Like a doctor.
You leave your car there the whole time you're on the road?
Yeah, right there. Right there in Terminal number 4. Does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. At the end of the week,
it's
the taxi's $80.
You're right.
So 80 and 80 is 160. The parking is 109.
Oh, my God.
Right in the fucking terminal cross.
Are you
not
serious?
The fucking one with the bus with the spots on it, and I got to wait with a bunch of immigrants and get on the thing. Yeah. The guy's got a turban. I don't know if he's going to blow up the fucking
That's
bus.
That's the one I wait for.
Yeah, this fucking gamooch. And then you got to go all the way to Sepulveda.
Yeah.
And do you want to wash the car? Listen, I want my car with pigeon shit. Okay, give me the fucking car. I just want to get home. I'm going to play for 8 hours. My hemorrhoid blew up, and you want to know if I want to wash my car. I park right in Terminal 4 is American. Terminal 6 is Delta.
Yep.
Terminal 3 is Virgin American. Their Terminal 1 is Southwest.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. I do Delta.
If you fly out, if you land at that airport after 6, you're going to be driving around like a fucking idiot looking for parking. So if your flight's at fucking 5, you got to be there at 4. I'm lurking at 20 to 4.
No one's there.
Nobody's there.
You're going to change the way I travel.
You pull right in.
Does that sound happen?
No. And then, listen to me. You piss again, and you cross the street under that tunnel. There's nobody there. You can run across the street with the light green.
I'm going
to
do that.
Nobody there. You get on the escalator. It takes you right to ticketing.
No bullshit.
No bullshit. Boom. You go in. First class. Boom. You take it. You turn around. There's a black lady who looks like Barry White.
That's me.
You go up to her and you go, what's happening, you sexy motherfucker? What's up, darling? Boom, right upstairs, pre-TSA. They know I'm a fucking fiend. They know I'm a felon. When I fly to other airports, I don't get to pre-TSA. But out of LAX, pre-TSA don't open up till 20.
I got that.
Don't open up till 20 after 4, though.
Fucking bullshit.
But if you have a 5 a.m. flight, you got 10 minutes. But you're still getting the other line, and you still get to your terminal by 4:15. And now they got a place over in LAX. It's not open for fucking, the burgers are not open. That's the only place I eat from, the burger place.
Is it 5 a.m.?
Oh, my God.
With the egg. The burger with the egg?
And steak
I
fries.
Think I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's right next to the Kobe
Yes.
It's off of terminal number 42,
oh
43,
my God,
46.
Yes.
That's the only place. But when you fly to Southwest in LAX terminal, oh.
They got good food.
They got the Mexican joint. With the bar, the margaritas, the whole fucking thing.
You get a margarita?
No, but I sit next to the person drinking the margaritas. I look important. I'm not an asshole. Delta's got a spot where I always see Maz Jobrani. And that's the place that you go through, and they got oatmeal, and they got
the whole thing.
They got the juices, the watermelon, apple, watermelon, lemonade,
like
water.
King.
That's a good one. That's a good one because
like
it's healthy.
Like the
healthy lox bagels, yeah.
I love
healthy.
Lox and bagels.
Yeah, healthy, healthy. And you drop the small 20, but you don't have to eat that shit on the plane. You don't have to touch a peanut.
Oh, God, the plane food, man.
You drop the small 20 like a gentleman, and you don't have to do nothing after that. You get the bowl of oatmeal. Oatmeal always holds you longer than anything else. And you get a lox with a bagel.
Yeah.
You get right there with a watermelon juice. Bam, who's better than you, Lisa? Yeah.
Have you guys ever gotten caught with the weed? Or no, never?
Don't jinx us.
Right.
What the
Allegedly.
Fuck?
Allegedly.
What would you do?
If what?
If you got caught with the weed.
I shut my mouth and let them fucking say whatever they had to say, and then I move on with my life. They'd bust my balls and put the medical marijuana license. I tell them I'm hearing voices. You know, you got to learn how to work the airport. Like when I went with Ari one time, when you fly out of Kennedy, Kennedy's got a stupid thing. Kennedy will go, what time's your flight, Miss Peluso? 6 a.m. We're not letting you through. But the airport said an hour before, yeah, but we're not letting you through. there's people that are flying out of the court at 6 that are more important than you. So they'll leave you behind the thing. That's when I walk up to the lady and I go, listen, I got high blood pressure. I got HIV. You just start
dropping. HIV, yeah, and high blood pressure.
Everything. Just start dropping diseases.
I got anal warts.
I got anal warts. I got a foot.
Rickets.
I got rickets.
Scurvy.
Scurvy.
Lupus.
Lupus. Just drop dropping. And she'll
start
go,
name
so
dropping.
What happens? And go, I'll pass out right here in the line. They will fucking treat you like you are gold, because that's the last thing they want. Is
they don't want somebody emergency. Dying.
Especially black people. They're lazy. They don't want to fucking dial 911.
They don't want to dial.
I don't care if you see a Chinese, a white dude, you see a black motherfucker. Black people don't give other people mouth to mouth. You'll never see a picture of a black person giving mouth to mouth. They don't believe it. I don't believe in it either. If you're choking, fuck, I don't know who you are. I don't know what, how many dicks you sucked last night. I'm going to be able to save your life.
It was four.
Then I get herpes for saving a life. You know what I'm saying? Fuck you.
You're not worth the herpes.
Next thing you know, I'm getting a medal with a sore on my lip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the mayor won't shake my hand because it's
disgusted.
Dripping.
He's disgusted.
Yeah. So, fuck that noise. I'm not, black people will not give nobody mouth to mouth. I've seen it. I've seen people die in front of black people. They just sit, they go, my Lord, that's it. That's all they do. They don't give a fuck about mouth to mouth. Take a survey amongst black people behind closed doors with no face and see what they say. Fuck that noise. I ain't sticking my tongue in some motherfucker's mouth to save his damn life.
Especially if he just eaten some like busted sandwich before and the crumbs are all in his
mouth.
See,
now we're gonna. I choked in Vegas with Lisa. I got high and ate a whole prawn from the fucking shrimp bar.
A whole prawn?
Oh, like a savage.
You choked on a prawn?
Oh my God. It got stuck in the windpipe. I started getting anxiety. I was seeing stars. I don't
really?
Know how it came out. Yeah.
Did you cough it up?
Yeah.
I had to do the Heimlich.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew how to do the Heimlich?
You came back?
Who don't know how to do the Heimlich? You got to be retarded.
I feel like I'd break a rib.
Give me some credit, at least.
My little ass noodle arms, I'd crack a rib on accident.
Well, who gives a fuck? At least you save a life.
You saved his life?
Yes.
How have you repaid him?
That's by loving him.
All these edibles.
You're in love with him? All these, you get, he repaid you an edible.
I give him mushrooms and shit.
Fuck yeah.
He gets high every night.
I feel like, what if you put the prawn there on purpose so that you could be the hero?
I think he did.
I'm Jewish. I put a prawn there. It's actually interesting that you brought it up, because I was thinking today, like, someone was complaining about their boring job, and I was thinking about it. I was like, I haven't been bored at work in what, 3 years now, 4 years, however long I've been doing this full time.
You've never been bored?
Fuck no. Why would I be
you can't
bored?
Be bored here?
No. And it's like, it's crazy how like it's almost like depression when you're bored, like for 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Like it got me so fucking depressed. And I was like, you guys get to go. You were not complaining, but there's always shitty parts about every job. But I don't think you're ever. I don't think Joey's ever bored on stage.
I'm not really. I never get bored.
Well, here's the problem.
There's stress
again.
To it.
If we let look, if the IRS comes to you tomorrow and says you owe me $200,000, then you call your agent and you go, you know what? I'm on the road every fucking week.
Yeah.
And two things are going to happen. You're going to improve, but you're going to get sick, you know, you'll get irritable. Once you pay the IRS, you'll never work comedy again. You'll be so burnt out.
Yep.
I like to work, and I'll tell you, you have no idea how fortunate we are to do what we do. If you really break it down, if you get up at 6 in the morning and just go to a 7-Eleven and just sit there, get coffee, and sit in your car and smoke a joint, you'll see how lucky we are that we're doing what we're doing, okay? Whether it's your dream or not, because there's people that really are busting their ass for no money.
For fucking
no money. And it breaks your heart. But you made a decision, and you suffered also. I lived in a car. You know, I had warrants. I couldn't pick up the phone because I owed everybody. I go to comedy clubs, and they go, somebody call for you. I knew it was a collector because they look at web pages now. You know, they'll look at a web page now. I had
creative.
A friend that was wanted by the IRS. By the time he got to every club, his money, they already told him, they wanted me to tell him what I was paying you, and they already took the money out.
Oh, my God. That's just
they don't fuck
crazy.
Around. In comedy, it does not fuck around. There's no insurance people on the road. There's really nothing. So the tide flips, or one day you have the ability. You know, you're not going to have it for long. In comedy, you don't have that big window for long.
Mm-mm.
That's why you have to do all the opportunities. For some people, it could be 7 years. For some people, it could be 3 years. It depends on the depth of your comedy and how good you are as a comedian, how you're able to adapt. And there's just so many fucking variables. But I know this. When I did an eight-weeker last year.
Jesus.
That by the end...
You're a different person.
You're a different person. You look at stand-up in a different way. And I always tell this to people that... I wish I never made a dollar doing this. Like, if I had another chance to do this, the best advice is somebody could have came up to me and said, listen, do me a favor. Don't think about that shit. Keep coming down here every week. Do your 10
don't
spots.
Don't think about that.
We'll MC you. And if you definitely don't want to leave and all that shit, this becomes more fun for you.
Yep.
You know, I had fun in 1982 and 1981, 1980, eating drugs and giggling and robbing people with my friends in Northburg. And then I left in 83 and I didn't have fun again for a long time. And this time's now when I'm like, look how bored of a life I live. But if I really look at my life, I look at that time I spent in Seattle and Denver. You know, Denver not as much because I got thrown out of Denver, that comedy scene.
Why?
Because I had a... Denver at the time was very limited. And the comics worked a certain amount of work. Anybody who worked out of that loop, they really didn't like.
Wow.
Like a certain room, or what do you mean?
So in those days, you worked triple runs. You worked the guy out of Dallas, his one-nighters. You worked Kansas City Stanford's. And you worked the four clubs in Denver. You worked... There was rooms you worked. If you worked like the Funny Bone in Idaho or San Francisco, you were considered weird. They had their own little circle. And then at the Comedy Works, I got accused of sexual harassment from some girl that jumped on me, and I went to grab her, and the manager saw me grab her ass, which when she jumped on me, I grabbed her ass because she landed. I mean, if you go to the Comedy Works, it's on a slantly. It's little stairs. So she ran down and goes, look who it is, and she jumped. I knew the girl. I knew the girl real well. But the manager contacted her the next day. The manager and me were at the same point in comedy. We were getting star spots.
Manager was doing stand-up?
Yeah, like the assistant manager. And he called her the next day and said, I think you should press charges. She contacted an attorney, but there was no charges to press, nothing. I mean, the girl was my friend. She even called me afterward and apologized. She felt bad, but she goes, the guy made her do it. And at that time, you know what? I was looking to leave, so it was an excuse, so it was perfect. But my time in Seattle... That 18 months, even though I got arrested 5 times.
It's a good ratio. That's good math.
Oh, my God. Even though I got arrested 5 times and I spent maybe 7 weeks in jail in the county, King County Jail, it was one of the most... my fucking niece.
You're blazing up.
It was one of the... compared to how I grew up and where I grew up, this was one of the most enjoyable times of my life. Even though I lived in an office, I took showers at the gym. They had at the end of the office, they had a window like that, a bathroom like this.
Yeah.
No. They didn't even have a bathroom. They had one that washes your hands, but they would lock it at night. So at night, I'd have to pee out my window and shit out my window. If I wanted to shit, I had to stick my ass out the window like this and put the window on my back so I wouldn't fall backwards. Fucking tremendous. You can't write
you
this
shit. You shit out of a window?
Shit out of the window.
In an office?
In an office. And wipe my ass and throw the toilet paper off the window in the bucket and then take it to the bathroom. And unbelievable.
That sounds very, like, you're acrobatic.
This was... It was amazing.
Just did anyone come up to your office and be like, someone's shitting outside?
No.
Yeah, where'd that shit go?
Nothing. Who knows?
How far up were you?
Who knows? 2 floors.
And did you ever go down and see like shit streaks in the window?
I looked through the window one time and there was like, you could see where all the shit had landed.
Oh,
it was dehydrating.
God.
There was like skeletons of shit. And like,
it was like
skeletons of shit yard.
Well, they can't all be, they're not
and
all
there was
solid.
Like, if I wiped my ass and there was a big chunk of shit, I'd throw it out the window. But if it was just a little bit of shit, I'd throw it in the waste paper basket. Just a horrible way to live. But
you ever shard out the window and like just spray up the building?
No. It was all shits there and peas. I puked from doing coke. In that office, I had a table with a blanket on the floor. And I slept on the blanket on the floor. And under the table was my luggage.
That was it?
That was it. And I had a 1-800 number so people could call me. I ran a sports betting. and I had a regular phone that I could call out with long distance. That's it. There was no pictures on the wall.
And you're doing comedy then?
And I was doing comedy two blocks away at the Underground. And downstairs, Josh Wolf ran the bar.
Josh Wolf. I love Josh Wolf.
Brody Stevens was living up there with his mother.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was a fun pack. But one of my highlight memories was doing the Mariner, the Seattle Comedy Competition, and Sunday getting free tickets to a Seattle Seahawk game.
Yeah.
I forget against who. But here's 15 comics that have been competing against each other. Now we're all sitting together, smoking pot, eating hot dogs, talking shit.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there making a note that no matter what happens with comedy, at least I got this from comedy at one time in my life. You know, it was so much fun, that camaraderie.
It's important to remember those little ass moments, man. All that shit's so fleeting, you know? It's especially now, it's like everything's so fast. Everything goes so fast because news is constantly being shoved in our face with social media and all this updating and posts. And it feels like moments are going by faster than they did before, doesn't it?
Well, when you get older, I mean, listen, it was Christmas.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Right.
It was fucking Christmas.
It goes by so fucking fast. And especially if you have a kid, everything's in like these little digestible moments. It's important to hang on to those like times when you feel that it's the best.
Well, between you and I, I've held on to good times where in my mind there haven't been many, like in my mind. But I also held on to bad times, so I knew how good the good times tasted. You know what I'm saying?
Perspective.
The good times tasted fucking good. You know? Sometimes you work a club or something, and they put you in this big hotel room.
Yeah.
And you lay on the bed, and Lee comes up and says, look at this place. And when Lee leaves, I go, you know, yeah, look at this place. But I wish Lee would have seen the place I lived in the office.
Yeah, more
or
so.
Lee would have seen when I lived in Boulder and started comedy, or when I fucking lived in a car around Sunset and I'd have to move it because if not, at 4 a.m. they tow it. So I always had to park on those side streets on Sunset Boulevard. You think of those times. And even in that fucking car, I used to have great times. I would jerk off in that car right on Sunset, right on the side of Vista there.
Good for you.
I'd do coke, jerk off in the car. People would pass by. I'd make believe I was sleeping and shit. I'd have the car running with the air on and the sunroof open so I could look at the stars. You know what I'm saying? How fucking crazy. So when you have those good times, you think of those times in the car.
And you need that shit.
I think of a time in Idaho when I was coming home from a midnight triple run. And I fucking was drinking Mountain Dews.
Oh, God.
And inhaling fucking No Dose.
That shit almost gave me a heart attack.
Holy
shit. That stuff is no joke.
I got pulled over in New Mexico. I was doing 90 in a station wagon.
From No Dose?
No Dose and what's the Nas? Like the grapefruit energy drink, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
The cop asked if I had military training, and I was chubbier than I was now in fucking a mini, fucking the station wagon. I was like, no.
Why did he ask if you had military training?
Because I was shaking on the
side. No dolls will make your heart explode. That shit's terrible.
Because the idiot that I was, I wouldn't get like a nice light breakfast to drive across the country. I got like fucking McMuffins or something. So 20 minutes into the drive, I was falling asleep. So I'd always stop and get like the No Dose and the NOS. And I was apparently just going, he's like, people usually calm down after a certain point. You're still shaking. I have to ask, do you have any military background? I was like, no.
But you were shaking because of the caffeine and you were scared.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a sweetheart of a guy.
You were scared and caffeinated.
I was petrified. I thought about running because I had planned that.
You probably could have gotten far on that.
I think I could have because I planned at the next exit I was going to stop to get for lunch. And I saw him. He was right in the middle, like in like the middle of nowhere. The highways don't even have like rails. They just have like a ditch.
Yeah.
So he was in the ditch. And as soon as I passed him, I was like, fuck. But he had to turn around. And there was an exit right there. I was like, maybe I'll take the exit. But then I was just like, I don't want to go to jail for trying to run into
you
Mexico.
You know, I did. I got pulled over once. I was going, I was like 75 and a 50. And the dude pulled me over. And before he could ask for my, he's using like license and registration. I was like, I'm going to get it for you, but I just want you to know I just got my period and it bled through the seat. My dad's going to kill me because it was like tan seats. I was like, my dad's going to kill me, Sicilian. He likes to keep the car nice and mint. You know, I'm going to get yelled at when I get home. So I was just pulling off to get a tampon. That's why I was going so fast. And he just looked at me so disgusted. He was like, just go. just get out of my face.
Hilarious.
He was so gross.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to fuck now either.
He was like, what?
He's a fucking pervert. He's like, you know what?
Let me smell the suits.
Let me smell the suits, filthy fucking animal.
Let me smell that hemoglobin.
Let me smell that Band-Aid. Now, where did you start comedy, or you got into the girl code first? Break it down for me. Where are you from originally?
Syracuse, New York.
By the mall?
Yeah.
By the mall?
Yeah. Have you done the funny bone?
I used to do...
Wise Guys. Back in the day.
With Bruno Sciarippa.
Fuck. Bruno, who would do your jokes a week later. This and, guy was a POW, I tell ya. Piece
Joe,
of work.
And Joe.
Yeah.
The Lion.
Yes.
So Bruno owned the club and Joe DeLion was the house MC magician.
Yes.
And that club was brutal.
Brutal.
Down with town. You wake up on Saturday. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Ghost town.
Nothing to eat. And I had like a history in Syracuse.
Why?
Well known to love magicians.
What happened was that I went to Bruno Sciarippa. I just got here in L.A. in 98, and the guy I was with books me Wise Guys.
Yeah.
Bruno Sciarippa. I go up there, fucking ripped a week apart. The headliner's complaining. It's a B room, man.
Yeah.
I'm at the Comedy Store every night doing 20. It's not even fair.
Yeah.
The feature cancels, so he asked me, he goes, you just want to spend the week? I said, fuck yeah. So he takes me to his house. This one even still married. He feeds me. I meet his wife, his kids, great Italian family.
This is DeLion or Bruno?
This is Bruno. Okay. He's a black belt in Taekwondo.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's
so
nuts.
He's got a fucking karate studio. By that point, I was 350 pounds.
Holy
325,
fuck.
And he would take me to do karate. He would try to teach me how to eat right.
So wait, had you been losing weight?
No. Bruno's like, you got to stop this lifestyle.
Oh, it's way before that.
He's like, you got to stop drinking fruit juice and sodas. He goes, yeah. I watch you drink a gallon of pineapple juice the other night in my bar. Bruno was a solid dude. But then he got in trouble for robbing money from the casino.
Yeah.
Tuesday nights. And then the club closed. And then the Lion took it over. But by the time the Lion took it over, it was called Viva Debris.
Yes, Viva Debris. Viva Debris. God, I remember that when I was a kid.
Viva fucking Debris.
That's
and
so
he was
crazy.
A magician. And he was, in reality, Joe DeLion was one of the best magicians in the world. That's what people don't realize. But here's what gets scarier, guys. And you're hearing this from me. Sometimes you go and there's a magician opening up for a good headliner or something, and the magician does corny jokes and fucking grandparents laugh and whatever.
Yeah.
In reality, Joe DeLion was a killer comedian. So he was such a killer that he couldn't get MC features. Because to save money, when he first opened the bar, he goes, I'm just going to house MC, do some magic tricks. He was doing magic at the bar before the show started. And then he'd take you in the back. And then he'd do the magic, you know, and then he'd bring up a feature. The reputation, he was so strong off the jump that he couldn't get features. Features were fucking hating life.
Was it the same material, or was it new all the time?
He was a 20-year comedian.
He had
fucking 9 hours of fucking killer shit.
He's been working.
His parents got sick. He wanted to take care of him. He took the MC hosting job. So when the club reopened, Bruno was gone with his wife, but he was banging this lady who had a lawn care service.
She had a lawn.
You're like, she,
yeah.
And she was divorced, but the husband was rich. He run off with a 20-year-old and just paid this bitch off. Just paid that bitch off. Like, you want $3 million, I'll give you $4 million.
That's what I'm looking for.
Take the kids. I don't want to see the ugly fucking kids. They're your side of the family anyway. They're half of facts. I swear to God. I wish I was lying to you. Whatever she wanted, he goes, hey, I'll give you $1 million more.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to fucking Spain to fuck this little 20-year-old in the ass. C'est la vie. Fuck the kids. So Bruno's banging this chick, and I would go up there and do 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
So in those 3 days, instead of staying at the hotel, Bruno would talk her into me staying at the house. And she was great, the lady. I got along great with her. She smoked dope.
Yeah.
She had a dealer down the corner. Some little neighborhood in Syracuse, right there. Real nice house.
I wish
house.
I knew where.
And she had a Lomo, and I ended up working for her. So those days I was in Syracuse, I would work in the daytime, make $100 a day, moving rocks and mowing. Yeah. You know me, though. You got to put two and two together. I got a coke habit.
Yeah.
You got to get up,
it's
bitch.
Expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. You got to get up. I had child support. So I didn't give a fuck. For me, if I went to Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse, any of those neighborhoods, I lived at that lady's house. I played with the kids. I hung out. Her and I would smoke dope at night. Then her and Bruno broke up.
Oh, the worst deal.
And I'm in the middle now. And she liked to suck dick. So he would ask me, has she sucked your dick yet? And I would go, no. But she would wake me up every morning. And I would, like, some mornings I'd have, like, hard on and go, all right, this morning I'm going to let her suck my dick. I never had the heart to. I liked her too much.
Yeah.
You know, and she would get drunk and we'd talk dirty to each other. But I never did. I never pulled the trigger on it. I just kept working. And then guess what? I came back to L.A. I used to do those six-month road trips. This is 99.
When you went out and do the road.
Yeah, because there was I had to follow Nick DiPaolo one night, and Stanhope was behind me. And I died at the Improv at one of those 9-15 spots.
Yeah.
I died. I realized how bad I was, so I would do six-month chunks on the road. 6 months at a time. Send clothes home.
Yep.
Hit a Walmart, buy a whole new fucking wardrobe for $32.50.
That's the way to do it.
And send boxes home. Every week, every 2 weeks, boom, those jeans.
Well, we were talking before the show about, like, coming back Monday and having to leave Tuesday. At a certain point, why even have an apartment?
That's the hardest thing for me, the past 2 years, having an apartment. I, you know, it's, like, so fucking painful to pay that check every month.
So you got to find a friend who's got a spare bedroom. He'll give it to you for a deuce or three bills.
Yeah.
Him that he could, but see.
But then you don't want it, you know, because you're with people back, all weekend.
But then you get there and he rented it to somebody else. Now your panties are getting worn by a man.
I don't mind that part.
No, the fucking the pillow smells like ass.
That already happened.
So you have to choose the life you want. It's nice to have your own space. You know, people always say, are you on tour? I don't know what the fuck a tour is. I'm on the road this week. I don't know about no fucking tour.
Yeah.
But
my life is a tour.
Like right now, I would love to do a three-monther and just get it over with.
For the whole year?
Yeah, but I'd miss my wife.
Again. Yeah.
Like, I'd miss the kid.
That's too much.
That's not the way to raise a child. If I was 28, 36, I could do it. And snort blow and eat fried food at the bar. I did it for years.
It's too much, though, man. I'd like to come home. For me, it's like, you got to find that balance. When you're on the road, you have to have a home, man. Don't you think? For your own sanity? Just to a place where you can go and think the thoughts you need to say on stage.
Well, when you first get into comedy, you want to get immersed in it. So you want to live with four guys.
Yeah, you want to do all that bullshit.
That do comedy.
Yep.
They're all hustling. They get you a job.
Yeah.
You all work at the same restaurant.
Yeah.
That's part of the experience. That's part of your book when you hit it big.
Yeah.
But then it comes a time when you move on. And now you live with your boyfriend. Now that's different. He doesn't do comedy.
Right.
So you're out at night and he works days. That's a different part of a relationship. That there's so many fucking levels of comedy.
Yeah.
And if you want to be good, it's the same thing if you want to be good, a good carpenter. I come on board with your dad. I think your dad's a construction dude in Syracuse. I come on board with your dad. After the first year, I'm getting good at it, and I'll go, fuck it. I'll work weekends. I'll run a crew on a weekend and learn this. And you do that for 4 years, you become a really good carpenter.
Yeah.
Or a mason. Or a fucking chef. If somebody says to you, hey, I have weekend work for you, and you really love cooking, and you really want to learn the trade, it's not weekend work.
No, it's not.
It's just another fucking day at the zoo. So
your
first 8-9 years of comedy, your love is so, and your passion should be so much. So it's just, and that's what it was for me. It was that way for me for about 12 and a half years. Once it got to L.A., it got real.
Yeah.
Gets a little too real.
That's how I felt when I got here.
A little too quick.
It's different.
And that knocks the wig off a lot of people. It's very understandable. A lot of people come to L.A., do a couple sets, and go, this ain't for me.
Yeah. I love it.
Is it the clubs? Is it the town itself? Or like
everything's
what?
Different from... L.A. comedy is different from comedy anywhere else in the country. It's a totally different... your approach to it has to be completely different. There's no laziness. There's no room for laziness. Don't you think so?
I know so. I know many of people. I could count 10. I'm thinking about them right now. I know guys that came, rented apartments, and took off after 2 weeks. Made up some story, never came back. My uncle, my dad, none of them really said to you, I don't really like it, or I really can't handle it. What? I can name 10 people. I can name four people who lasted less than a month that I know of since 1997. And I could name 50 people who have left.
Since then, yeah.
And people who had talent. I'm not talking about people who came out that weren't even at that point. I'm talking about people who you saw at the store.
Doing
people
it.
Who you yeah. saw at auditions. People who you saw at different comedy clubs. And one day, you're working fucking St. Louis, and they contact you on Facebook. And because your life is filled with faces, you forget. And yeah. you go, bro, where the fuck? Oh, my God. And they'll tell you, what happened? You call them up. What happened? What are you doing here? Oh, I got stuck here. You know, L.A., man, me and the girl broke up, and I had no apartment. And you hear it in their voice that it broke them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to maintain a high level of bullshit in your life.
You do.
I'm not even a comedian. And just driving down in Burbank the other day, and there's billboards everywhere, and you're driving past Disney, and it's every conversation you have is about it, and every conversation you hear, even if you just go to be quiet, every conversation you hear is about this meeting or whatever. It's kind of cliche to say it, but there's a different feeling in L.A. even for me, so I can't imagine having to perform.
It feels like you can go out, and the way I approach it is I go out, and in my mind, I'm like, anything can happen tonight in L.A. And I felt that way when I was in New York. I was in New York for almost 9 years. You know, I always wanted to perform in a way that I would be tired when I got off stage, or sweating, or my heart was still racing. Because the Jessie Mae 11 years ago or 12 years ago, whenever I started, would have done that. So why would I change that approach? I don't think it's, you know, when I see comedians being lazy and taking, you know, shortcuts, it really irks me. Because like you said, we're very fortunate to be able to do this, to be able to make a living at it. Fucking forget about it. How many people make a living doing stand-up? Very fucking few. And how many people are out there trying to do it? A shitload. So to me, laziness, there's no room for it.
Last Thursday was my true test. Last Thursday was the fourth week.
In a row?
No, I did 4 out of 5. And last Thursday, I had to get up at 2:30 to be at the airport by 4. Flight was leaving at 5. There was a lunchtime flight that I looked at the day before. I did get so fucking fanatical about it. I looked at the lunchtime flight the day before, and I said, I'll get there at 7:30. I'll make the show. I would never do something like that to a club owner or myself. That's a horrible stress to put yourself under. I still remember that alarm going off at 2:30 in the morning last Thursday. And my wife didn't sleep with me because she don't want me to wake her up in the middle of the night. So she blows up a fucking air mattress and sleeps in the baby's room with the baby. I remember opening the door and they were 1 inch from each other. Their faces, and they were looking at each other, and they fell asleep, like playing, like looking at each other. Do you have any idea how hard it is to leave that? Like, not yeah. to say, are you fucking kidding me? I'm going to do what? And then I got on the 101 and there was bumper to bumper traffic, one lane. I shot off that motherfucker at Coldwater, and I did 90 all the way to fucking Sepulveda with a 405. Mm-hmm. I shot down. I made it to the airport at 10 to fucking 4. I walked into that airport. I couldn't believe it. 10 to fucking 4. But it's so hard to leave that. Like, right there, I'm like, I'm going to what? Pittsburgh. I'm leaving this yeah. to go to Pittsburgh. Yeah. I made my wife sleep on the floor to go to Pittsburgh. At this level that my wife just said, well, I could sleep on the couch. I go, ah, she blew up the mattress. My wife didn't mind, but I still remember being a criminal full time. I did a 6-year fucking run of just Peter stealing from Paul.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it by Friday, somebody's getting robbed.
Yeah, someone's going to finger Mary.
Somebody's going to fucking get robbed. And I'll never forget going to Colorado and leaving. And the first 6 weeks I was in Colorado, I pretty much slept. Because all those years, my stress level was at such a high peak. You know, last night I had jet lag. So I got off the plane yesterday at 8:30 in the morning. I went home. I played with the family. I hung out. I ate lunch with them. I think I went down at 2. I got up at 5:30. I ate dinner with them. We talked Sunday. We said prayer, whatever the fuck. At 10 o'clock, I went to bed last night. I was tired, but I had so jet lag, or whatever the fuck you call it.
Yeah.
I woke up at 3 a.m. angry shit. As a motherfucker. Woke up, like my mind had just put all the shit I've been pissed about for the last 3 weeks in the tip of my mind. I got up, I drank half a gallon of apple juice.
Oof.
It was the baby's apple juice. I was so dehydrated that I popped fucking a half a gallon of water and did 3 more CBD drops under my tongue. And I couldn't go back to sleep. I was wired. I woke up at 3, got up. My wife came out like 20 minutes later. You okay? And we started talking. She goes, why are you mad? I go, I woke up fucking mad. Can you believe this shit? She goes, what are you mad about? So we started talking about what I was mad about. She goes, if I want to go to the zoo tomorrow, I'm going to have to go back to bed. I go, all right. She went back to bed like maybe 10 to 4. I stayed there till 5:30 watching Sons of Anarchy. I watched an episode of Sons of Anarchy. I watched the episode of Sopranos. I watched The Honeymooners. I had taped the night before. I didn't get to watch that. I watched The Honeymoon.
What a one season.
What's that?
Honeymooners. How long? Wasn't it on for like one season?
They had 20-something episodes.
Yeah, that's it.
But they got like really good episodes that come out Sundays at 10:30, so I tape them.
That's good.
One night a week that we get the fucking... One night a week for you East Coast cocksuckers. One night, Sunday at 10, I got The Odd Couple. At 10:30, I get The Honeymooners. And I watch them every Monday morning.
But by myself, does that bring you such fucking giggling. Joy? Yeah.
It destroys my insides. Last night was the one about the boxer. Have you ever seen that one? Where he's shooting pool.
No.
And the guy comes over. And the guy's got a squeaky voice. The writing. Listen. There's two guys who run on that show. And Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason oversaw. And let me tell you, I read the book. Jackie Gleason described them as two Jews without a suntan. Because all they did was write brilliant shit.
Yeah.
And in this particular episode, he's shooting pool with Norton. He walks in, the pool table's open. He gets on the pool table. Within 4 minutes, guy comes up to him with a squeaky voice and says, I wouldn't do that if I was you. And he goes, why not? And he goes, you know, this is me and my friend Harvey. And they start making fun of the guy's name. So your friend's Harvey. Harvey? And all of a sudden he goes, yeah. And my friend Harvey's even bigger than me. And Ralph goes, I got a friend Shirley that's even bigger than you. So all of a sudden Harvey comes back. He's a professional boxer. He taps Ralph and all of a sudden fucking Norton is hysterical. I mean, if you're looking to do comedy timing, Ed, I don't even know what his name is anymore. His real name, Ed Norton, in the fucking thing. He kept peeking over his shoulder going, hey, Ralph. I think he's even bigger than your friend Shirley. Like he was just throwing.
Ralph Crampton.
Ralph Crampton and Jackie Gleason.
Art Carney.
Art Carney was a comedy.
The timing.
And I'm watching this morning, and my wife is arguing with the baby in the fucking kitchen. And about the part where Norton comes down and talks him into it. He goes, you got to fight him. Everybody's down there. Everybody's betting on you. You're 500-1. You're going to lose. And he's just tormenting them. He goes, you can't leave town. He goes, let me teach you how to box. Let's work on your footwork. And he's working on his footwork. And all of a sudden he goes, all right, cover your face. Ralph covers his face and he fucking punches him in the stomach, right? And right when he punched him in the stomach, I broke down into tears.
You did?
Yeah, broke down into tears. And I'll tell you all the components of this.
You're going to write it down?
I grew up watching it. When my mother was alive.
Right.
And as I was watching it, I'd be on the phone with either Fernie next door. His name was, I forget now, the kid who fucking the Lysol can blew up and went through his leg and shit.
The guy with the bikes.
I hit him on Facebook. He never returned me. I'd be on the phone with him laughing. Now, number two, I've seen all these episodes 100 times apiece.
Yeah.
Why am I still fucking laughing? And number three, it's who I am today.
Yeah.
That comedy is who I am today. I wanted to be Ralph Crandon. There's no, even my wife looks at me throughout the thing. Because that's the first person I saw that really took it. Yeah, Richard Pryor was a great stand-up. But to do it in front of me, then I saw Red Fox on Sanford and Son, and you see all these other influences.
You see that crossover.
But fucking that show, every Monday, first thing I do on Monday when I wake up, no news, No, nothing. I get my coffee.
You gotta chill. You gotta have that chill moment.
And it brings me back. And it's three levels. It's three levels of what happened to fucking. Do you know they took every song off? You're correct.
Every
fucking song. We brought it back so big that MCA Records said it's over.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Oh, okay.
It's time for Tony Bennett's show. It's Monday. A little something for the spirits, you know what I'm saying?
Something for the spirits.
Fuck you. Sorry about squeezing the water bottle and people get offended.
Why do they get offended? I wanna be around
to pick up the pieces. It's time to smoke a number if you got it. That's what it's time for, cocksuckers. A little smoke break, eat some nicotine gum, put on your grandmother's glasses and take a ride. Get on the skateboard now, cocksucker. You will go home with 8 stitches. It's also time for another mushroom.
Oh, shit.
I'm full in mushroom mode.
Your face looks like a mushroom right now. You're so high.
Here you go, Lee.
What are you talking about?
One more little stem. One more little stem. Come on.
You're so high.
One more little stem for Jesus. It's Monday.
This is amazing. You look amazing.
What did you put Jesus through? What did your people put Jesus through?
It wasn't me. It wasn't me with the fucking thorn crown.
One of your uncles... You got to assume one of your cousins. You're all related. Where is it? Don't worry about it. I got more.
Oh, I found it.
Leave it there. Leave it there. The cat will get it.
Want me to get it?
No, leave it there. The cat will get it.
The cat on a mushroom? Oh, my God.
Somebody sent me a video of a dog that ate edibles today. It was the saddest thing.
Oh, no. What happened to it?
The owner couldn't pick it up. The guy with his eyes were wide open. They were fucking dilated. Here you go, Lee. This is small.
Did it hurt the dog?
Here you go, Lee. Don't let that one go down.
Ready? That's small?
Yeah, these are all baby mushrooms.
I feel like the other one's smaller.
Here you go, Leah. Arrivederci.
There you go. I'm going to send it off on the Snapchat for you. Okay.
That's how we do it. A couple mushrooms during the break. Get the party started. 4th of July is going to be here before you know it.
Oh, my God. That is impressive. That's a little one?
Yeah.
He's lying.
That's not little.
That's a baby one.
That's huge.
No.
Come on, Joey.
I get these mushrooms from fucking Africa that they give to black people before they put them on the ship.
That thing looks huge.
Nah. The ones they got the cap, that's the one he's going to see the devil. He ain't going to see the devil tonight. I gave milligrams of reefer.
I don't care that I squeeze the bottle.
This is
gross. Who gets offended by bottles being squeezed?
People have stopped listening to the show. Sometimes you make a mistake and you squeeze a bottle, and this refrigerator is on fire.
Yeah.
It's got
these ice dicks in them.
I love a good ice dick.
I love this shit. My wife freezes this like the white trash that she is. And I got to tell you, in the middle of the night, you get up and you drink that bottle.
That's delicious.
Oh, my fucking goodness. Some cold,
especially
cold.
Especially on the edibles.
And a little ice dick to go home with.
Girl, never get lonely with ice dick.
There
used to be a Carvel in Syracuse I used to go to.
Oh, yeah, there's a few Carvel still.
There was one particular I used to go to. I used to make my milkshake thin. Little Chinese guy. Very thin. I like it thin, you know what I'm saying?
Did you ever know
Mike
Goss?
Why do you like it thin?
I made a thin shake milkshakes. The other day, about 2 weeks ago.
Like watery?
Yeah.
I put vanilla ice cream, a lot of whole milk, and a fucking scoop of cane sugar.
Don't drink that whole milk bullshit.
But now I put coconut milk with vanilla.
Good.
Oh, shit.
Good for you. That's good.
I make almond milk smoothies every morning, Lee, and I love it.
That's good. You put good nuts in there?
I put fruits. I put mixed berries and cherries and some flax seeds.
Oh, do you put chia seeds and hemp seeds?
Flax seeds.
Flax seeds are good. Add some chia in there.
I put some CBD oil on my fucking tongue for 60 seconds. And you become a fucking weapon, Lee. You understand? Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Joey Bananas?
What's wrong with milk?
Joey Bananas?
Yeah, what's wrong with milk?
Milk is, man, that stuff is so gross. That comes out of a cow's breast. I can't fuck with whole milk.
It's very funny how I'm sitting here looking at you, and I realize for the first time how beautiful you are.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Your cheekbones and stuff. And you're also so very Italian. Is your dad Italian and mom's Italian? Everybody's Italian. What's your mom's maiden name?
My mom is a mutt.
So what's her maiden name?
Finley.
Finley. Okay.
She's so Irish. That's and the some beauty. Other bullshit.
Yeah, that's the prettiness. I've always been a sucker for Irish women. They're dirty. I like them.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We get dirty mouths.
Crazy. Love them. Love them. Love them. Since day one, dog. Those freckles on the tits when you're in Catholic school.
I don't got
school.
Tit freckles. I feel left out.
Oh my God! When they're redheaded, there was a redhead sitting next to me on the flight to Sacramento with Felicia. Felicia's like, what are you looking at? I kept looking. She couldn't. She was beautiful. She looked like the chick from Boogie Nights, first off.
Okay. I was going to say the Wendy's
that
commercial.
That red hair. That yeah. red hair. No, no, that's too red. Fuck that. I like, yeah, I like that red. And they got to have pale skin.
Yeah.
I like the vampires. Pale skin, and I like the freckles. The freckles on the arm.
Tit freckles.
The feet were fucking tremendous. She had acne, foot fungus. I saw a
spot. What do you want to do to the foot fungus?
Why'd you like that?
Because that means she runs in the woods. I could get her out there running. You know what I'm saying? I could chase her with a knife.
Also means she's probably like vulnerable.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Oh, she was beautiful. When she got made up on the plane, I was watching her put her eyebrows on. She's fucking beautiful.
To be a woman, we have to put our eyebrows on. Do you even know what the fuck that feels like?
No,
you motherfuckers sitting here. With your burly ass eyebrows, and the world loves you.
Yeah, but you got fucking eyebrows, and somebody pays the rent, so complain. You know what I'm saying? Nice eyebrows, nobody's paying, taking me to dinner.
Your eyebrows are all over the place, and you're adorable.
Oh, my eyebrows, women have stopped me.
Yeah,
women
your eyebrows
stop me
are
nine out of 10 times and go, can I ask you a question? Did you have a sister? Like, because the eyebrows got to be out. What are these?
Eyebrows.
No. They like this.
Eyelashes.
Lashes.
Women go crazy over these eyelashes.
Yeah.
They say that they grow weird. Mike, eyelashes grow to what you ladies want them to do.
They curl.
So a lot of women have come up to me over the years and said, your eyelashes are tremendous. Out of all the fucking things.
Have you thought about doing any modeling? Any eyelashes?
Yeah, yeah.
I think eyelash modeling.
Mascara.
I just sent the fucking package to Mad Magazine, all right? To be an eyelash model, whatever the fuck it is.
I get mad when dudes have nice lashes.
Because women have to extend them or something,
We have to put like baby boar fat on our face to feel pretty. We have to put colors and chemicals and shellac shit onto our face. You guys walk around with your burly ass eyebrows and your lashes and you're fucking fine. You could smell like salami and have fucking hair from your temple to your chin and be fine.
I don't eat salami no more because I did last week. Last week was
eat salami anymore, but I did last week.
My wife bought salami again to put in the fucking salad, and I found it at night. I made a salami sandwich and I was leaving at 3:30 in the morning. I'm not hungry when I wake up.
I'm starving.
No, I don't wake up with hunger. I have to have that coffee first. Yeah. Then I got to wait 10 minutes. Then I got to hit the tutsuruts. And then once I hit the tutsuruts, about an hour later, when I smell bacon before I go in the shower, then I go, you know what? I could eat some.
At what point do you shit out the window? Do you ever do that for old time's sake?
No. About 8 years ago, I started shitting in tubs because I just couldn't take it no more. While I was taking the shower. Why get out? Let me tell you something. For some reason or another. Listen to me, Jezebel. For some reason or another, for about 2 years, I like shitting before
you're
I go
so
in the
clean.
Shower. But I like shitting before I go in the shower.
Of course.
I don't want to take a shower and then walk around with a dirty ass all day because it leaks. You got to bend.
You gotta
stop every hour and clean it, and then it gets hot out. Mm-hmm. So I don't like it. I like taking the shit before I go in the shower. But there's some days the system don't work according to your fucking pussy schedule. So you wash, and then you come out. Some days, I was taking a shower, and as soon as the water would hit my back, I'd have to take a shit.
And yeah, it's the worst.
Let me tell you something. When you got to dry off
and take a shit.
And it makes you have to go to the bathroom as soon as the water hits you. So sometimes you do sit on a wet toilet, and it's a horrible feeling.
It's the worst feeling.
It's a horrible feeling. So for a while there, I was just saying, fuck it, let me just shit while I'm taking a shower.
Would you scoop it out?
No, I would either unscrew that thing. Sometimes I'd pick it up with my hand and just throw it right
in. No! Joe, stop!
That's how disgusting I am. Sometimes I would just shit. In Vegas, sometimes I was eating pills and doing blow, and I would just sit in the thing with my legs open like a Chinese guy. You know how they shit in China, but only with water hitting my ball sack and my asshole at the same time. It's a party. And I would just shit and watch the shit come out with all the particles, and then I get like the soap and push it down the hole.
No!
Yes, I would. I'm disgusting. I got to admit to it right now.
Anybody who's ever taken a shower at Joey Diaz's house,
no, not
you're
this house.
Welcome.
I would do it in hotels.
Oh, okay.
I would
Jesus.
Push it down. The peanuts would get stuck in the thing, so the drain couldn't go back down.
Oh,
you don't know.
I can't stay in hotels anymore. I'm never staying in another hotel.
You don't know what life is like.
You don't know. I do.
This had to be 2006 to 2007.
Come on, you had a shit year? You know the year you were doing this?
I was just shitting in the tub everywhere I was going.
You know how some comedians have, like Josh Wolf has, like, the picture from his hotel room? He should just take pictures of the shits.
No, now I don't do that no more. That's when I was an animal. Way before I got married.
You don't shit in the shower
and then my
anymore.
My wife caught me one time in your apartment. She caught me tossing the shit. And she goes, what was that? It was in midair. She just caught it like
midair shit.
With the thing flying off and it was rolling in the air with water on it.
Did the splash get her?
And it just splashed. She goes, what was that? And I go, I had an accident. And she goes, you can't be having accidents no more. You're too old for that shit. And that was it. Because once my wife catches me, that's it.
Your wife caught you tossing shit
tossing
into the
it
air.
Right in the air, like a cannoli.
You were
like a little shit cannoli, just
like
throwing
women's
air.
Softball serve.
Unbelievable.
Wait, would you shit on the floor and then pick it up, or shit into your hand?
No, I would shit on the floor. Let it drop. Boom, boom, boom. I would be washing my back, and then I just bend
Why
over.
Was that an important detail?
And then I just bend over like a mule and let the hot water. It was like a Puerto Rican bidet. That's what I would use the shower, like a Puerto Rican bidet. And I don't like
he
those.
He can't
fucking
handle his life right now.
No, and I don't like those things, those shower things. That I don't like that because you're never cold. If you take the thing off the thing, then you're freezing.
Yeah.
So your balls are warm, but your back is freezing. So I don't like that. I like water everywhere. If you go to these new modern hotels in Vegas, they got a couple different directions that water's coming from. Don't get me wrong. I get tempted.
You get tempted
at the hotel they put me in Vegas now. They have a chair in there. Oh, that's a party.
A chair in the shower?
In the shower.
Oh, that's so you can like sit down
and
get
down
a BJ.
And, yeah.
And take a shit comfortably.
This time I just go in there and lay there and think of jokes and shit. That's my best work when I'm in the shower.
Yeah, I do too.
I love my I love 10,
so
2 hour,
ideas in
3 hour.
The
old apartment I had in Hollywood, the guy told us the water tank was from 1910, where it was the size of a city. I would sit in that. When I first had the sleep apnea, I would sit in the shower from 3 in the morning to 8 in the morning.
Would you get pruny?
The fucking wallpaper. The fucking wallpaper and the paint would come off the walls. And I would just sit there. I'd get a pillow. I'd put a plastic bag around. I'd put it behind my head. But before the sleep apnea machine, that's the only way I could sleep. Because it's a slant. It's steam.
You'd fall asleep in the shower.
With the hot water hitting my chest like a doctor. That's the way the Greeks did it in the old days.
Like a doctor.
Fuck yeah.
Is that documented?
Turn the lights off. Fuck it. Leave me in here with the hot water hitting my chest.
What kind of doctor sleeps in the shower?
A doctor. A real fucking doctor. Somebody who's making big time fucking cash.
What kind of doctor?
Listen, if I ever make big time cash, I'm going to design a house with a mattress in the shower. And an unlimited tank of hot water.
I feel like I was drowning. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, I feel like I was drowning.
Hitting my chest on a slant. Nice steam. You breathe nice. You put some eucalyptus in the fucking
humidifier.
Thing. Whatever. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, you're literally making a human sized humidifier, like a huge humidifier. He just needs
turn the light down low.
He doesn't need the sleep apnea machine. He just
some fucking waterproof rolling papers. Smoke some tuturuts in the fucking shower. Who's better than you, Lisa? I had nobody.
That's amazing.
In the shower?
Fuck you. If I could smoke weed in the shower, do you know how many joints I'd smoke? You know how brilliant shit would come out of my mouth?
Yeah.
There's times I go in the shower, you can't write. I need a waterproof pen with waterproof paper.
You have waterproof paper?
No, I wish I could get it.
They got to have that.
Something that I could write underwater. Like if it gets wet, it doesn't matter.
What do mermaids do?
Snorkel, like writing underwater.
That'd be fun though.
Do you eat in the tub?
You eat a sandwich or
no,
something?
No, that's disgusting.
Oh, okay.
That's disgusting.
Says the guy who just threw a shit
Candy
in midair.
Jello and shit in the tub like you're fucking a cunt.
Some people do a beer, don't they?
Yeah, I'll do a shower of beer.
I don't need none of that shit.
I don't need one of those.
No shots, no glass. I can never be one of those people who drink wine. They go into this deep fog and they open their eyes. You know when you ever go to an AA meeting, people hug each other and they close their eyes. I never got. I closed my eyes once, nothing happened. I never closed my eyes again. Even when you make out, that's the creepiest thing in the world. I got to close my eyes. Nothing happens. I want to stare at you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When
you keep your eyes open?
Fuck yeah. Like a dead person. I don't fuck around.
When you sleep?
No, no.
Oh, I was like, oh my God.
I got a cat that sleeps with his eyes open. It's the creepiest
That's
thing.
That's scary.
She sleeps with her eyes halfway open. You got to go like check her from time to time. Lulu, get it together.
That's my friend's dog's name.
I love Lulu. That's my girl. Again, I took that from the Honeymoons. That's from the episode Norton was sleepwalking. So they hypnotized him. They kept saying, Lulu, Lulu. And they got him a fucking dog.
What fucking thing I'm not over you throwing shit.
Disgusting. We do. Listen, man, we do some disgust. I used to love to pee in phone booths.
You pee in a phone booth?
That was my life.
Like just for a gag?
Take my dick out and make believe I was talking on the phone. And just pee and watch thousands of people walk past me while I had my dick out peeing on the floor. It's amazing what you don't see. That's why I tell people all the time. Like people, you know, they get away. They don't get away with murder. And I say, read those mafia books. Those mafia books, they took you in the weeds. They didn't make a big deal of it. And that's why, yes, the rats told where the bodies were. But there's still 100. And those guys are not geniuses. They're not geniuses. Mm-mm. They'd wrap the fucking trunk up. They'd wrap the top up. They'd take you for a ride, shoot you in the head with a 22 so the bullet wouldn't splatter. Because when I shoot you with a 22, there's not a hole won't come out of the other side. The 22 just goes around in your head and crushes your brain. Oh. That's why when you want to shoot somebody in the head, you shoot them with a 22.
Well, I was just thinking about that today.
Well, when Badafuco, that bitch fucked up because the chick lived. Remember when Badafuco shot? I don't know what gun she shot her with. When Amy shot the mother in the head with the gun.
That's right. Wow, I forgot about Badafuco.
When I first got to L.A., I see Badafuco every night.
Really?
At the Comedy Store.
That must have been weird.
Joey Badafuco with his wife at the Comedy Store.
Fuck.
And then him by himself. And then auditions. I always went up against him. They always put him up in my category. An Italian pizza guy. I'd always see Badafuco in all the auditions. Then he did a porno and everything ended. He's got a body shop in the Valley, or he sold it. You know what? He had a body shop right in Van Nuys for years. That's when he moved out. He had came out with a body shop.
He sold it.
You got to shoot him with a 22. But all the...
Do you know that league?
I watch those CNBC shows and people are always getting caught with murder for stupid shit. And you're like, that's just dumb shit. How did three guys murder somebody and nobody knew nothing for 22 fucking years?
Well, they got to stop showing these shows because no one's going to solve murders in like 20 years. Maybe even less. Everyone's going to be taking notes with all this technology and murders are just going to be done so easily.
Well, see, now with the technology, they got you. I think they even have you with the drones.
Of course.
Yeah.
They have us with our cell phones.
Well, I'm not going to take a cell phone to bury you. I'm not that stupid.
No.
I'm going to take my car with the GPS.
Take a drone. Pop, 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 pop. Pop a cap at pop a 22 in his ass.
With a drone?
Yeah, right through the butthole. There's already a hole there.
That's a thing from a movie.
You see, there's a new drone that you can actually sit in now?
No.
It's not out yet. But you can sit in a drone.
I bet you're fucking happy. You can't wait to get your little hat with the propeller.
I'm a nerd, but I like to wait till like the second or third version of stuff. Like the self-driving car, I really want, but
you can't go first.
I'm not. No.
There's gonna be a recall.
Yeah, computers break down and stuff. So I'm like a second.
Can you
or
imagine
third.
Being the first one that thing don't stop, and then you're on the 405 at 5 a.m. doing 90, and you're an asshole. You're like, why did I even believe this shit that this is gonna even be possible?
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna have a fucking. I don't trust nobody. I don't even care if it's a fucking go kart. I don't care if it's a fucking bicycle. I wouldn't trust nobody driving me with a fucking thing. So now I'm going to have nobody in there. Are you fucking retarded?
Yeah.
This is only something that white people come up with to be
some
fucking
white people
stupid shit. Nobody else, the chinks don't think about this. They're not thinking about this in Africa. They're thinking about this nowhere else but fucking here, white people. What about we got a whatever car, you know, to do what? Because 20 of them are going to fucking snap one day and they're going to be in different cities. Because they're all going to be on a computer chip or something. It's got to be done with a computer.
I never even thought about that one yet.
So one day, 600 fucking of these stupid cars are going to be going nuts on the different highways.
They're
going
to zap out.
Meanwhile, I got my fucking Cadillac dent-free that'll kill you if you tap into it. You understand? See, that's what I'm getting. In my next car, forget the Subaru. I'm already driving around different neighbors looking for an old Cadillac, a gas guzzler. I don't give a fuck.
You want to get my Aunt Carmella had one of those.
Yeah, why not?
Well, what year?
It doesn't matter. I don't even know years. What do you think? I look around.
I don't know, like 70s, 80s.
80s. Goodfellas.
1973. Not Coupe DeVille, but the other
Cadillac
one.
Cadillac DeVille?
not the Cadillac DeVille, but the Electra 225. I'm taking it back to 1973. Four-door electric windows. You hit somebody with one of those fucking cars, they ain't going to live to tell the story. There's no kidneys. There's no hips. They're going down heavy.
I would pay to see that going up.
Let me tell you something. You hit me with one of those fucking driverless cars, you're blowing up right there. And I'm going to keep driving down like nothing happened. It's like one of those bulletproof tanks. They don't even, dog, those cars, you can shoot at them. Those Electra 225s, I know.
The Caddies?
The Caddies.
Does it?
Listen, I know for a fact. You could shoot at those fucking things. When you got in a car accident, those things, the windshield didn't break. It was like a 9-inch windshield tall. If you were old and needed glasses, you didn't need them in that fucking car. That's how they made those cars.
What is it called?
An Electra 225 4-door. Get the fucking brown one with the tan interior leather. Who's going to say something to you? You're living like Ricardo Montalban before the cake. Take a look at that fucking thing. Who do you think you're dealing with, Lisa? A four-door.
Those are nice.
This is the real deal.
My dad had a Caddy. I borrowed it, and then they stole the hubcap, the cap cover. They stole that shit out of my dad's car.
I don't want to get Ginzo. Yeah. But you got to get, like, old school Ginzo. Like, not that one.
Caprice Classic?
None of those. Right there, that black one at the end.
Oh, shit.
You see that black one all the way top?
All the way over
top.
First
all
one.
All the way, right there. Boom. Let's see what that is.
Yeah, that's the Goodfellas style.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? What is that? What car is that?
Yeah, that's a ship.
It's what I put in. I put in
Electra 225. There it is right there. Fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Black on black.
White wall.
Look at no white walls.
Look at that front tire.
Is it a white wall or not?
Oh, no, it's not. It's got a stripe. The back tire is different, though.
That car right there.
It looks like a shark.
You see that bumper right there? That's what it was made to look like. That's what America made to look like. Look at that car right there. You have 9 feet between...
Your face.
The grill and the windshield. Nothing's happening to you.
Nothing.
No airbag. Nothing's happening
Nothing.
To you. You got 9 fucking feet. Look at that,
Lee. You got Shaquille O'Neal.
You got a fucking... What engine do you have in there, Lee?
Fuck a minivan. Let me check.
What engine do you have in there? It's an engine made. You put oil in that thing, and it's going to be expensive to upkeep, but ain't nobody going to fuck with me. Once they put that car on the road, I go get an Electra 225.
I don't even think it has an engine. I think there's just a dick under the hood.
It's a Buick, right?
It's a Cadillac.
It's a Cadillac.
Okay.
Cubans love Cadillacs. Always remember that. There was more Cadillacs in Cuba.
Oh, maybe it is a Buick.
No, Buick made it, but it was a Cadillac. Maybe it was a Buick.
Wow, was it a Buick?
Maybe it was a Buick.
Because, I can't find anything.
I guess it's a Buick.
All right, let's go to 1973 Buick Electra 2. Let's see the Wikipedia, what the engine is on it. 72. Let's see. Like that brown one. Get that brown one right there. Look at that motherfucker right there.
Yeah, that's a boat.
That's the two-door. That's the boat. I don't want the boat. That's the Ralph Varney edition. I don't even know who Ralph Varney is. I don't want to hang out with Ralph Varney. Let's see.
Let me see what engine it is. It's run by a whale dick. I guarantee it. It's not even an engine.
Okay, an engine is... 401 cubic.
Yeah. Are you
6.6 V8.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? It goes, and it just, the more you go, those horses go, Jack. You can hear those horses.
Is it diesel?
No. It's the real
just regular gas?
Yeah. No, I'm going to blow. Listen, I'll blow 80.
6 miles a gallon.
Yeah, I'll blow $80 from here to the comedy store, but it's worth every fucking dime. Because if I hit you on Lower Canyon, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's
going
to happen.
But going uphill.
I don't even think that car had seatbelts. You don't need them. They even tell you you don't need them. You don't even need them. What's the point?
You don't need seatbelts in this car.
Ain't nothing going to happen to you. Worst thing that can happen is you break a rib or you got to take a quick shit. That's it. Nothing.
You'll shit out the window.
That back seat, you could bang two broads.
At the same damn time.
At the same damn time.
Did it have the bench front seat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I love that bench front seat. That was something that was like 80s. It was 80s. I remember sliding around that front
seat. Next thing you know, you date a girl, she likes to get blowjobs, the seat bends that way. I used to date a girl that she couldn't figure out. Well, I don't know why my seats, maybe because you sucked 2,000 dicks in this fucking car and you went this way. You know what I'm saying? Did you ever think of that? We took it to the Nissan deal.
2,000 dicks, that's my memoir title.
She sucked 2,000 dicks in that fucking car. I'm not kidding, you're close to it. And we had to take the car to Nissan. And Nissan couldn't figure out why the seat was crooked. Engineers, little Chinese dudes with flashlights and shit. And I'm like,
you got stuck with the Nissan bill?
No. Do I look like the type of guy getting stuck for a Nissan bill for the 2000 blowjob? Are you fucking crazy? If I was the first blowjob in there and she kept sucking my dick, maybe I'd pay half the seat bill.
Yeah, you give a quarter of it.
Yeah, I'll vacuum the seat. I'll take all the dick lint off it and shit. But I'm not fucking... The seat was crooked from how many blowjobs. And I wish I was telling you a lie.
Wow.
I wish I was telling
you a lie. Good for her. Hopefully she mastered her technique. Hopefully it wasn't a waste.
What are you going to do?
You know?
Things are bad all over. You know what I'm saying? All right, so you start comedy in Syracuse or no?
Yeah, and then I moved. No, I didn't start in Syracuse. I started in Boston. When I was 18, I moved there and I did improv for a few years.
Where did you do improv?
I did improv at this place called the Cantab Lounge.
Oh, okay.
It was in Cambridge.
Oh, yeah. Cambridge. Because they have the Improv Asylum. So I was wondering if you were there. Because I used to love that.
There was an Improv Asylum. There was Improv Boston. And then The Tribe was a group I was with. And then I started doing stand-up from that. I was like, this improv stuff is fun, but I was like, I can't do it. It's just...
Six people.
It's hard to make it good, man. Yes. It's tough. It's
the long version, the short...
Listen, yeah, we did musical.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah, go fuck yourself. Just grab the mic and go for it, cocksucker. Yeah. You're going to go up there with three idiots.
Give us the name of a city.
Could tell, yeah, that shit. Oklahoma.
Okay.
Oklahoma. Now we got to play fucking Wizard. I got to sit there and get a headache for 30 minutes.
We did musical improv, so I had to like grab finger symbols and shit.
Get the fuck out of here. I got to sit there and get a headache with a swami hat on. I need this shit in my fucking life.
It's too much, man.
You were never in an improv troupe, Joy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I live for that shit. Get the fuck out of here. It was big. When I first got into stand-up in 91, where I got into stand-up, there was an improv troupe. And I went to watch it. And I liked what they were doing, but the broad drove me crazy. Because she thought she was Hepburn.
Oh, God.
But meanwhile, she was just a fucking moron.
Right.
And then she got into stand-up. And she had this big attitude, and they made her a feature, and she died a million times. So who the fuck knows what happened to her. I didn't like it. I didn't like the attitude of it. I didn't like the people that went to see it.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
It's a very different. The people who go see improv, they're a weird animal. And at the I.O. in Hollywood, they would do an improv show on Fridays and then put stand-ups on them. You should have seen the look on their face when they got a load of me. Because it's real. They would shit their pants.
Yeah.
I would go down there Fridays at midnight just for a goof for me. And then go to the Comedy Store and do the 12:30 or the 12:45.
Right.
For a year, I went to Improv Olympic as a goof.
Right.
Because I couldn't believe. Now, again, part of me is putting it down, but part of me is just, I was in disbelief of what I bumped in there. Like, I went there thinking something, and it was the complete opposite of what I thought. For starters, everybody in there was on a Visa card.
Wow.
A dad Visa card for a year to get your life together and then become a improv guy. Every class I had, I went there to write sketches. At that time, I heard sketch groups, sketch shows were going to make a comeback.
Yep.
So I was planning ahead of the game. So I paid $69 and took a 10-week sketch group. I got to tell you this. After the fourth week, I was better than the teacher.
Really?
Yeah, like the teacher had written for one TV show and all these little kids were rubbing his feet and bringing them apples and shit. I'm like, this guy's a bum. This guy's a to the curb fucking bum. This guy ain't done what we do. Yeah. Never. And after the fourth or fifth week, and I'm terrible at all that stuff. I'm telling you, I was writing better sketches. The improv troupe was taking my sketches.
They
were taking my sketches. I never wrote sketches before. Just street shit. I don't even know what the fuck I was writing.
Right.
3-minute sketches, whatever the fuck they are. And they would grow them out. They took, out of maybe 15 things I wrote, they probably took 10 of them.
Wow.
So I started meeting the kids, and I would try to get together with them too. And they all had fucking Audis.
What the fuck?
They all had BMWs.
Come on now.
They all lived in the hills. And here I am, a comic, living in a one-bedroom, fighting for my life.
Shit.
And I got to talking to them, and then I started going to the I.O. And I saw that the people that were even teaching couldn't... Listen, man, I remember going to rooms to audition for movies and seeing people that I had seen in other big movies and shitting my pants. Then a light bulb would go off, and I'd say, wait a second. this guy did this, 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 and this. But guess what he hasn't done? He never did halftime of a Buffalo Sabre game.
Yeah.
And almost gets shit thrown at him from the tub.
Yes.
Okay. That built me up. Like, that destroyed my insights. Like, they did this movie, this movie, this movie. But they never followed Paul Mooney at the Comedy Store at 12:45, four nights a week. They didn't do that. That's what they didn't fucking do. And what they didn't do, you can't take away from me.
No. Nope.
I'm going to go in that room and fuck them up. And that's exactly what I would do from that little confidence. Just that little, no matter, I would think, and you, when you go in there, you think about all your shortcomings. You start thinking about, this guy came from a nice family. I came from a shit family. I did drugs. I went to prison. But then that last life hook has always saved me. I go, but this guy, let me tell you what he hasn't fucking done.
Yeah.
He hasn't followed Don Marrero in the main room. You know, when you're not going to do it. And I see it all the time. And it burns me up. A couple weeks ago, I went to that fucking Flappers down there on a Monday, Tuesday night. And they had like this actor from like all these whatever movies, pseudo comedy movies down there, trying to be cute.
Pseudo comedy.
You know, you can tell when he comes in with his act of bullshit. You know, hi, how are you? Like, he's
what
really,
is it? Come on, tell me who it is.
I don't even know his fucking name. What's those movies with the fucking dude from Saturday Night Live? He just played in fucking whatever part two. It was terrible. He played the villain in that movie. He's old, but everybody, like, he's like 100, but everybody tells you he's fucking 33.
Oh, Bill Murray?
No, the other Bill dude. Bill Murray. The other fucking dude from Saturday
Night Live. Chevy Chase.
No, younger. He's the dude. He did the basketball movie. He does the Reporters movie.
Will Ferrell?
In the Neighborhood. He's cousins with Will Ferrell.
Is it John C. Reilly?
Which one's Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell was on Saturday Night Live.
Will Ferrell's Anchorman.
He's in those movies, the guy I'm talking
the
about.
The sports guy?
John C.
Yeah, Will Ferrell. Like, Will Ferrell's one of those dudes that's 50, but they keep saying he's 32.
Yeah, who is it? Come on.
You know, I don't know the actor's name.
He's in The Anchorman?
Oh, he's in a bunch of those little stupid fucking movies, and they started getting into
comedy. What's he look like?
I don't fucking know. Some white dude. And he comes in with his fake attitude, like, hi, oh, are you from here?
Oh,
and
I fucking
he's
hate
making
that.
Believe that he cares. Like, right away, nobody gives a fuck where you're from. I don't really give a fuck. I'm just here to fucking rock the mic. I don't give a fuck. You got wings, you got water.
Let's not do
the
small chat. Yeah. Chit chat.
You know, chit chat shit. You
can tell. Rock the mic.
And this motherfucker was going up there talking all this shit, and I could tell that he was watching me. And when I got off stage, his face was just, they never see that. It's like one time I was at, I think Lee was with me. I was at the fucking improv, and what's his name was there? The other dude that's got the show about the clown on fucking.
Oh, Galifianakis.
Zach was there. Zach fucking called me. Zach called Brody and said, I never seen nothing like that in my life because they weren't laughing. After fucking Sarah and Zach, they, you know, those people at the improv, oh my God, Zach Galifianakis is here tonight.
Yeah.
Our evening has been made. Well, fucking fat little Joey went up there. I didn't have him for like two or three minutes. And then I just turned on him. And fucking Will, Sarah. I saw Sarah for a year after that. Sarah would always go. That night was amazing.
I didn't get to
you
see it.
You screamed at them?
I heard about it.
I turned it around.
What did you do?
Whatever. I just broke it down for them. Said, who the fuck do you people think you are? You know, who the fuck are you? You better than me? What are you going to do tomorrow? You going to go to a farmer's market to get nutmeg? Suck my dick. You know, I got a 3-year-old. I just started throwing heat and ranting. And all of a sudden, when I left there, they were like, and fucking, I hear somebody chasing me, and it's Zach. He said, what the fuck was that? And I go, that's stand-up.
Yeah.
That's stand-up. That's what we're supposed to do. Not supposed to go up there with, you know, this guy's been in 20 movies.
Who gives a fuck?
That doesn't mean nothing when you got a brick stage
behind you. Doesn't mean
you're good. You're either going to put your hands up because the cops are going to shoot you. You better start telling jokes, bitch. And it's just amazing that we've forgotten that art. Like, I'm old school. I learned from fucking Pryor, man. You go out there and you fucking step on the gas and you go and you say what's on your mind and fuck it. When you start holding back is when you're slipping.
Yeah.
Well, there's three old people. If I say mud blood, you know, it's not going to work. I'm dehydrated from the mushroom, bitches.
It's good to stay hydrated. I'm glad it's not juice.
No.
You need that water. You got another water in there for me?
Yeah, I got 22 fucking waters.
You're about to have 20 left.
Lee's got like fucking, Lee's the man of
waters. Oh, nice.
Lee don't fuck around here.
So Lee.
You're in Boston. What was next?
He's hanging on to his water. I was in Boston for 3.5 years.
All right.
Then I was in New York for 9, almost 10.
Really?
Yeah. I was in New York, hitting the pavement.
Banging it out. What clubs were you working?
I was doing all of them, and I ran my own shows. I used to bartend, and I would run a show at the bar I was bartending at, have all my friends come. Like, I'd do the shift on Tuesday, then afterwards I would do the stand-up thing. And then I just ran shows. I did my own shows. I would bark people in. I did that for years. I would just ask any bar, like, hey, can we do comedy here? I fucking asked everybody.
That's how you have to do it. That's the only, and they don't even know.
I just need a microphone and turn your light towards the corner and we'll figure it out. Yeah. And I did a lot of road, like, just bullshit shows where I'm getting paid.
Dick. Nothing. Dick
and hot dogs.
$50.
Yeah. Nothing. Not even breaking even. You're coming out of pocket.
No.
You're driving 6 hours. I would do that. You know, I'd do all that, like, Jersey and all those, like, areas that surrounded New York. I'd do all the
Roger Paul.
Yeah. Roger Paul, the $50 gigs.
Fucking.
Come on.
Come back to the office on Monday and give you $45. I took my commission out of there. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're opening for places. You're going to weird. I would call him and he'd get me fucking gigs.
You'd get your shit.
He'd get you death gigs.
Death gigs. Those are the most important ones.
Horror ones. He got me Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania from Linda Rowe. I love all those gigs.
Oh, my God.
You know what,
Mason,
man?
Mason, you ever do the Masons?
Mason.
Like, there's one place in Pennsylvania, huge, like, Masonic temple.
No, I didn't do that one. I did the Connecticut place with the animals in the room.
What?
You're doing stage, and they got fucking bears behind you. It's like the Hunters in Connecticut.
Yes,
they called me the last minute, the headline there. And whenever I go to New York, I call bookers and just go, listen, I'm in town. What you got? And they go, we have nothing. And by Thursday night, they're calling you with the worst gig out of the whole lineup.
It's
like Friday night in Baltimore, you're going to pick up $225, but you're not going to get paid till you come to my office Monday. One time I came all the way back and fucking Roger Paul kept telling me that he didn't send me the check. I sent my friend Jimmy Burkle. He worked over there. And I said, Jimmy, just go to this place and pick up the money. I don't even want to keep it. I owe it to you. I didn't want the money. I just wanted the principal.
Yeah.
He got me a gig once on a Disney bus. Going from Secaucus, New Jersey to New York City, 42nd Street, to tell jokes in the back of the fucking bus after snorting blow all fucking night. The night before that, I was in Houlihan's in Secaucus, New Jersey. Oh, my God. You have no fucking idea. Ladies and gentlemen, when you do comedy.
You do it wherever you can.
You do comedy, dog. And the people who are not doing this shit. I'm not even talking. You're not even ready for a cruise ship. Cruise ship is right before you're going to shoot yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You go on a cruise ship. That's what you do then. I'm talking about early on. They'd put us on a bus at 7 in the morning, like good, that people were going to Good Morning America, those assholes. And I'd be back there talking about eating pussy and fucking doing blow the night before. What else I got?
Yeah.
He would tell me the word clean. Fuck you. And they would just stare at me. You did 15 minutes, then somebody else did 15, then you sat in the back of the bus.
And then you just sat
in the back of the bus.
That's amazing.
And they put more people in, and you do the same thing going back to Jersey. That was one morning.
I mean, that just builds like scar tissue. It's like you perform and you do gigs like that, and you remember those moments. Like you can feel old cut. Like you remember that scar. You can feel that scar tissue, and you're like, yo, who else has done stuff like that?
The funny thing is that when you're doing that part of stand up at that time, you're always carrying a little bit of pain from your past,
mm-hmm.
and now this new pain you're encountering. Makes that old pain go away or lessen a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's not really. Lee and I have had 1,000 conversations about money and this and that. And I don't think Lee understands that for 18 years before the podcast, what I went through, what he went through, what a comic goes through. I didn't go through the same luck that a lot of other comics had. I came here when I was 32. You're long in the tooth. Nobody wants you from Montreal.
Right.
And you're at the store banging it out, you know. And all those years, I still remember David Tell coming up to me in Miami and going, I wish I would have gone on as a feature act. I would have had a following now. Because all those people really remember you as a feature act. And then they're proud of you. You become a headliner, and now they're proud of you. It's like you become a piece of them. They've been there since day one. And I try to explain to people that even this podcast, what's made it easier is our years of busting our ass in awkward situations. You know, it's like me going to jiu-jitsu every day and going, listen, today we're going to start with you on top of me with your knee in my fucking throat, and I got to get out of this.
Yeah.
That's stand-up every
fucking day. That is stand-up every day.
That's stand-up every day. A 400-pound guy on top of you with his elbow in your fucking throat. Lee, how you feeling over there?
Lee's flying high.
It's different. It's different than edibles. I don't feel like I was like
out. You want another mushroom?
No.
You look like a newborn baby.
Yeah, take another edible. You look good. It's doing good for you.
Yeah, you look like a pregnant woman. Like in the face. Only in the face. Like the glow.
Let's get you a little nug. Look at this one. This is perfect for you. This is
beautiful. His eyes aren't open anymore, Joe. No,
that's the goal of the show. That's when you know the show has come to a screeching end.
His eye is not open.
When he's turning his head back like Owen and Benjamin in the first 20 minutes.
His eyes aren't even open. Every time I look over,
you
want to
wake up a little bit? Eat this little stem right here. This is a special.
He looks like a Simpsons character. You're going to give him this thing?
Yeah, we're all going to do a little. No, me and Lee are going to do another little stemmy poo.
It smells weird.
What?
It smells like my toe from that fungi.
It does smell like your toe.
Yeah, it does. It does smell like my toe.
I mean, I don't know what your toe smells like, but I'm assuming your toe smells like that.
I have a fungi toe. When I cut the toenails off, I sniff the toenails. It's horrible.
My dad has got that. Yeah. His feet look like, he looks like a goddamn gargoyle from the shins down. He looks like he belongs perched on a building.
My front toe and the middle, the second toe, all the rest of
the fucked up, right?
Fucked up the first two. I got to sprinkle shit in there.
Why do you do Lotrimin or whatever that?
I do. I do every day. And the nail's starting to crumble.
The other day,
I got it fucking blowtorched. When they blowtorch the fungus on, I went on Groupon. And you go to Ventura Boulevard. And some little black lady with goggles on fucking takes blowtorch with cold air.
It's liquid nitrogen.
She starts blowtorching your toe. You see the steam coming out of your toe, and all of a sudden she's blowing cold air, so you don't feel it. It hurts the second time. You're like, it just burns. It
hurts
kind of
nice.
Okay, Lee, eat that fucking
time.
Lee.
It's time. I already ate mine two times.
He's already eating them like they're chocolate chips.
That's how we do here on the church. Chew it. Get the vitamins on there with the Indians putting the real one.
Please don't throw up.
Drink some water, cuz. Oh, you got the cap on. All right.
Oh, no.
It's a good Monday night here on the church tonight, people.
You're going to be fucked mushrooms, up.
Fucking 300 milligrams of Gazunda beans.
His face has changed shape.
Oh, that's my boy. He's a fucking, listen, this kid's
did
a Jewish.
Did you take mushrooms too?
I took three of them.
No, I know you did.
I've never done them. No, I gotta go have a desert moment.
I can't give her no mushrooms.
I'm gonna go have my desert moment.
She weighs 110 pounds with a rock in her pocket.
I will
iPhone.
Shit my pants.
Yeah, and that's the other thing it makes you do. Take a shit. That's why.
I got a fast system. I'm like a guinea pig.
Yeah, it goes right through you. Once this thing cultivates in your stomach, you're going to be killing that fucking bathroom, Lee.
You're going to be blowing it up?
Blowing it up. Diarrhea, a little.
Are you okay, Lee? Are you having like an out-of-body experience right now?
Lee's been having out-of-body experiences for 4 years now.
Doesn't he look like a newborn baby?
Ever since I made him smoke the hash out of the can, it changed his whole fucking life.
You look so happy, Lee.
That's not bad.
That's because you're here.
Oh, my God.
So now, how did MTV come aboard?
10 years of failure.
They came knocking, you showcased.
Yeah, I just was, you know, they like keep their eyes on comics in New York. And, you know, I was doing my thing, working, and I was out there auditioning and doing all that. And I went in for it. And it just, it fit my personality because I just say how I feel. And that's the basis of the show. You know, that's the whole show.
Is it still on TV?
I don't think so. No, I left after the second season.
How many seasons were there?
I think four. I left after two.
And it's fucked up because people give like that show and like a lot of the shows like a bad name. But like even when I was growing up, like Best Week Ever, I was a high schooler. It was fun.
People like to talk shit about anything they can talk shit about. People are afraid. People don't like success. And when something is successful, they got to chop it down because they fear failure in themselves. It's just a human. It's human nature to do that.
And to be honest, I became fans of Doug Benson, and I think Pete Holmes was on the show too. Mm-hmm. So,
on The Girl Code.
No, on Best Week Ever. So it's just like, it was like the same thing. You never went in for any of that stuff on like VH1 or MTV?
No. One time they called me and I didn't want to do that.
Do you ever get shit for doing kid movies? No one ever looks down. I don't know.
I'd rather do that than do a fucking The Best Week Out.
Yeah.
That's how I always felt.
Yeah, you gotta do what you want
to
do.
One time when I went to New York, they asked if I want to audition for it, and I said no. I also did an audition for The Sopranos the first time.
You did it?
They fucking, the first time, my manager at the time was worthless. I'm in New York, and he calls me and goes, there's a show on HBO, The Sopranos.
You would have been fucking...
They're looking for people like you. And I'm like, I'm not going to New York and dropping the tape off. This manager was terrible. If he was good, I would have fucking dropped
you
off.
You would have gotten the role.
I went, I read the second season and didn't get it. I read for the detective because at first they wanted the undercover cop to look like pussy.
Right.
So I went in there, and then I read for the part of Bacala. I read for the part of Gigi.
Wow.
He let me read. He liked me, but I just couldn't nail the roles. I wasn't ready as an actor then. I was still, the paper would shake and shit.
Auditioning is a fucking nerve-wracking process.
It was for a while for me, and then I flipped that stand-up into it. And
that's smart.
Then I treated it like stand-up. I put the not the dramatic side of the theater into it, but the dramatic side of stand-up.
That's smart.
I always won the conversation. I always do three reads. I control the audition. I always do three reads. Do one for them and one for me and one together.
Right.
Let's see how it sounds like together. Because I can tell you to go fuck yourself in 18 different ways.
Yeah.
That's how I used to look at those sheets. I always read the sheets and say, what's he trying to say? Because once you know what he's trying to say, you can say whatever the fuck you want. As long as I come to the final conclusion and I hit my marks at every level.
Yeah.
So that's when I started booking. Once I got, I added the dramatic side of stand-up. Not a theater. Stand-up.
Because that's your core.
Stand-up has a dramatic side to it.
Yeah, because when you do stand-up like that, you're telling the truth. Yeah.
So I flipped that into it, and it became a lot easier in auditions. And I started ripping auditions apart to the point where I didn't like the movie. I just wanted to book the job just to prove my point.
Nah.
I'll turn down the fucking movie because that's the shitty part is the working, unless it was a scale movie or above.
Right.
All those other ones, I would just go in there for practice.
That's smart because that's the only practice you can get is putting yourself in those scenarios.
TV show, same thing. I got it down to a science. For 5 or 6 years, you auditioned in this town for... You went in for the audition, then you went to the producer session, then you had to count 9 out of 10, you had to go to the producer session again. So early on, I figured out I had to have 3 auditions for them, one better than the other, and a little bit more on each time to push the envelope, because they could always tell you to back your speed up, but they can never tell you to give more.
Yeah.
So I would always be a little over the top just to contradict the director, so the director would have to tell me, and it shows like a foul direction. I was always good at following direction backwards, not frontwards. So you figure these fucking things out. And pretty soon you're going in there, and it's like picking off. I was picking them off everywhere. Law and Order, SUV. I was just picking them off.
Special victim unit.
How I Met Your Mother. I destroyed them without even reading a line. My ball fell out. The pants ripped.
They did.
I didn't wear underwear, and my ball fell out. And I asked what they say to the ball. Doom. There's a science to auditioning where you don't even have to audition. I've been on 3 or 4 auditions. I didn't even read the sheet.
Really?
Just fucked them up I went to another pilot audition one time where the guy was in his, he was a real hillbilly in Philly. Like a real yokel.
Yeah.
So this guy had a pool in his front yard that he was filling up for his kid while he was frying hot dogs. So who does that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I said, fuck it. I went into with bikini underwear with sweatpants, and the Lord was in my corner. I walked in. When I walked in, they're like, give us a minute. They turned around. Right there, I dropped my pants. I took my jacket off and had a short shirt with my stomach coming out of the bottom. So when they turned around, they went like that, and I was, and I made believe I was cooking. I go, living like a doctor. Boom! It wasn't. They wanted the dude to say, like, you know, hi, I'm over here having a great time. Come over. And people were looking at him like, who's that fucking guy? No. If you come out of your house and I look you straight in the face and I got a hot dog and a fork and I got a hose and I'm filling up a pool and I got a thong on with no shirt on and I'm looking at you like living like a doctor, you're going to go, look at that crazy motherfucker. He don't even have a backyard. He's got a 4x4 front yard. But in his world, this is a Taj.
4x4 front yard.
Yeah, in his world, this is a Taj. You ever see?
That's not even a yard.
You ever see a movie named 29th Street?
No.
See if it's on what they have on 29th Street. 29th Street is one of the best films ever because it's Danny Aiello as a dad, and he raises Anthony LaPaglia, and he has to, then they move. But he had a little front lawn, like a typical Italian, 4x4, And every day he'd be out there watering, talking about the Kentucky, and the whole family would go, "Dad, stop already with the fucking lawn." He had a 4x4 lawn.
He's proud of that.
But to his world, it was fucking, he'd roll up his pants and 4x4. What's the big fucking drama? But in his world, you know.
Danny Aiello used to have a comedy club I performed at.
In Hoboken.
In Hoboken.
There it is right there, dog. That movie is such a good.
It's called 29th Street.
29th Street.
I'm going to watch
put on
it.
On the beginning of it, Lee. What the fuck? You're sitting there. You think I made you go to it to sit here?
What Lee the fuck is it written up on that screen?
Let's see what we got here in the beginning of this shit. Make it move a little, Lee. You're going to make me sit here?
Oh,
what is this?
What is this?
Go, Lee. Hit it.
Oh, my God. Look at movies.
Oh, that's right.
Remember this?
This is a true thing. This is about a lottery ticket. And a guy who wins the lottery, but he didn't want to. That's
he
and the guy
he won
who,
it and didn't want
you
to.
You know who wrote this movie?
Who?
Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci was the dude that says, "Who do you think you're dealing with? Joey Bananas?"
Yeah.
In Midnight Run. And he was also in 48 Hours. He was in the beginning of 48 Hours negotiating with Eddie Murphy. Leave this.
Oh, okay.
Leave this. What the fuck? In the beginning, he's negotiating with Eddie Murphy in the truck. That's Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci sold this movie.
Wow.
This is a fucking, and it's a true story. I worked with Joe Pesci. He was in New Orleans with Stallone when I shot that boxing
Grudge
movie.
Match.
And he gave me a big hug. He still remembered me and
aww.
Shit. Joe Pesci is a great dude. He's been in a fucking, that look, Joe Garagiola.
Look it.
Click it, Lee. Right click, there.
From
click
here?
It. Yeah, right there.
Click
Tony Cerruti. No. Right there. Click it. Open
Tony
it up.
Sirico?
Let it play. Let it play.
Look at this shit.
All the sadness you feel.
Fast. Lou DiGiamo. I took his acting fucking class at UCLA for $200. My wife gave it to me for my birthday. We could barely pay rent. She paid $200 for the acting seminar by this guy.
That's sweet.
This is why he also cast Hannibal. He cast fucking, oh shit. He cast Godfather 2. He cast Sleepers. He cast
wow.
Donnie Brasco. This dude's a fuck. Frank Pesci was one of the executive producers. See if he starts in the beginning. Let's see.
Look at how old these movies are.
This has to be, yeah. I saw this one night by mistake. I cried. Everybody who I've turned this movie, and it's on once a year on that Chicago channel.
WGN.
WGN. Has,
are you happy now? Are you happy, God? You had to do this to me. You weren't happy leaving me alone. Were you?
Now, fast forward just a little bit. I'll tell you the where, because he gets arrested right there. No, keep going back a little bit. Keep going back a little. Keep going back.
Danny Aiello.
Right there.
No, the others are straight action.
This is a tremendous fucking movie. If you want to cry. Like,
I'm,
already,
I'm
like,
girl,
oh,
I love crying.
Fuck. God damn it.
Look at Danny Aiello.
This is way before I Do the Right Thing, guys. If you watch this at home. If you want to fucking cry, you watch this goddamn movie.
He cried when he saw us for the first time. My brother, my sister, me.
Aww. With the hot dog.
Oh.
We made 20 minutes from here to Radio City.
You don't want nothing? Well, let's walk. Such a good
thing. All right, let's go. Well, we've got about 8 blocks, right?
Yeah, but we're going to see Student Prince. Right. Come on.
When I was younger, my dad used to always seem like this giant to me, this guy who knew everything about everything.
Are you crying, Joey?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm more high. Yeah. All right.
What's that?
What's that say?
Well, that says today is President Eisenhower's birthday.
I want to get my name up there.
Well, I wouldn't want to have it any other way, Frankie, but only great people get their names up there.
How can I get my name up there?
You know, you got to do something big, Frankie. Very, very
big.
Hey, Pop, okay. How can my name up there?
This big? I guess it was something to make us wrong.
Did you ever do this club in Hoboken?
No, so it doesn't feel like a jerk for having you. And I figured, if I could get my name up on that building, at least I could have left some kind of mark on the world.
Now you're lost. You ever hear that?
Now, in my neighborhood, there are like two ways to make it. One's the right way, and the other way's the fast way. And I gotta tell you, the fast way looked pretty attractive to me as a kid.
Wow, look at that!
Keep forward, fast forward this way.
Two things playing. Yeah. I have to like
keep fast forward this way. Look, you got Dr. Dre. Not that much, not that much. When he gets a little older, this is hysterical, right? He just took his earphones off, and he wants to quit. Shit, he's like, I'm done. You want to smoke some pot, Lee?
Not really.
I don't know. I couldn't stand him. Because you need to calm that savage in.
Especially when my dad lost his trucking.
His eyes are a little more open. Oh, no, they're not.
He's all right. He needs a milkshake. We'll go get him the milkshake. He'll be fine.
Milkshake.
One milkshake. One milkshake. You'll be fine. Trust me.
That milkshake set you straight?
Oh, milkshakes. Oh, when has a milkshake not set you straight?
Yeah, it's true.
A milkshake straightens you right the fuck out. Shut this shit off, Lee. Let me give some shout outs. And we'll get everybody the fuck out of here. He's all stuck up on mushrooms. He's seeing devils and shit. I'm going to have to put Led Zeppelin on and shit.
Don't, please
some
don't
fucking
do that.
No quarter in this motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
Now, you get on this fucking girl code. You're on there for 2 years. What made you move to L.A.?
E Network plucked me from MTV.
Okay.
And it was hard at the end with MTV. Everything got very contentious. So I chose E over MTV. And I did an overall deal with them for a year, trying to make shows. But Chelsea was doing her thing on Stern, talking crap. And, Joan passed away. Joan Rivers passed away. And the head of E! Got fired. So all these transitional things happened while I was with the network trying to build a show. And so I sort of was under rug swept. It was a great learning experience for a year. I was working my ass off. I shot a ton of pilots. They were very... accepting, but it just, they were plugging too many holes. So it wasn't, the best timing for me, but I learned a lot and shot a lot of pilots and worked my fucking ass off. And now I'm just a free agent, just out there on the road a lot doing stand up. Why are you smiling? You're smiling at me.
I'm just smiling because I know you're liking it.
I love it.
I know you're out there. It gets tough at times. It gets lonely. It's hard for a woman. It's hard for a fucking man. It's hard for everybody. And I'm not even saying that in the wrong way. It's just hard.
No, it's hard. It is.
I have had a couple female comedians tell me it ages you with it. Every comic has a different take on it, but we all know it's like cigarettes. It's like Chinese food. It's like cocaine. It's like McDonald's. We know, but it ain't that bad for you.
No, it's not that bad for you, but it's...
it ain't that bad for you, so it's all bullshit. I mean, I feel very lucky. I feel very fortunate to be doing this at this age and still... being relevant and cracking jokes and fucking around with kids half my age. I love it. For me, that's what makes me get on the planes. I can't do every week and do the world tours I used to do, but I could do 20 weeks a year. And
that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Take December off. Why fucking kill yourself? After the first week of December, there's no reason to go out there. It's all Christmas parties and shit. After Christmas, that week I told you, if it's local, if you're going to go cross country, don't think about it. Don't tell them, no, I'm not going.
Yeah.
You ever see those people Christmas time, you get your feet up, and they're at the airport, and you're like, look at those assholes. It's worse when you're one of those assholes. You're like, why?
When you're traveling during that time, it's after the 12th, stressful.
After the 12th of December, there's no traveling. I'll see you January 20th.
Yeah.
You've worked enough, gives you 6 weeks. And it gets away that cold weather out of the way, which you don't really
you don't want to travel during that
shit. Well, it's a great weekend, the first weekend after New Year. Send your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Send your mother to go with a fucking bikini with a wig to dance down there. See how good it is. So
have fun down there.
That second, third week of January, it eases up. The money eases up.
Yeah.
People start getting the credit card bills. They've been in the house for three fucking weeks.
They're antsy.
Now you start going out. But they go out New Year's weekend, the fourth people, 25, two drink minimum. Leave them at home.
Yeah.
Leave them at home. I don't want to attack my peeps like that. They're fucking family. These people go to shows.
Yeah, they are.
So I don't really want to. They're broke. They're still fucking recovering from the holidays. You're going to show up with a big dick. Hi, I'm here. Scrapping stupid jokes. Then you didn't sell as many tickets as you did last time. Yeah, because I was there a year ago.
Right.
with the same fucking stupid jokes, the same persona. Yep. Get me out of there for 18 months.
Make them want me back.
Let them see 10
make
people.
Make them miss
me. Yeah. That's the, so all these variables. You know, I've been here for years. And when I got here, Gersh had the majority of the great comics. Slayton's, the Jewish chick, the Wendy Liebmans, the fucking Slayton's, the fucking Joe Rogan's, Dave Chappelle. They had all those comics at the time. Pablo Francisco. Everybody was a Gersh. And one thing I noticed was their work schedules. And at the end of the week, after 3 years, you burn out. And now I can't really put them back out there. I'm like the mafia. I want you to pay me every month a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to owe you money. Just give me 5 points of your action. I'd rather milk it and be around for 7-8 years. Ralphie May.
I feel a little burnout.
Won last comic standing in 2005. Ralphie May goes 45 weeks a year since 2005.
That's you're asking to, you're killing yourself.
You're killing yourself. It's taking care of yourself. It's cleaning out your mind, you know, having another hobby. You know, for me, people get mad at me. Oh, you come to Pittsburgh, do my podcast. No. When I do comedy, I do comedy.
What's your other hobby?
And podcasting.
Yeah.
So Monday and Wednesday, I do podcast. I do one set. Tomorrow night, I tape that for Ari. But usually, Tuesdays, I go to Flappers in the store. Yeah. One set. It's not my focus. My focus is this.
You got to put energy into
it. Wednesday, as soon as we say, check it out, it's over, that's it. I don't even think of podcasting no more. If I do your podcast, like I said last week, you got to pick me up, take me to the location. That's an hour, half hour. Yep. I got to meet your buddy, smoke a joint, I'm interested. Now you took 2.5 hours out of my day, and I got 2 shows on a Friday.
Yep, it's smart.
Now I'm bombing the first show because I talk shit for you for 3 fucking hours about nothing. Somebody that's not going to listen to this, anything. You know, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with my mission here.
Yep.
So when I rock, I rock.
You gotta save the energy for
you. And when I roll, I motherfucking roll. Tell him, Lisa, I
act cocksucker.
I want to thank my main man, Chrome Moses, and his beautiful wife. They brought me a CD. Lindy Ann Miller and Steve, my man, showed up heavy duty. Mark Thomas, my man from North Bergen, Danny Bianculo, Don Wrangler, John Harris. Happy birthday to Bob Lingus' mom, Primo Pacheco on 155th Street. And El Gringo Rojo making it fucking happen over there. So, what, you got the paperwork for me, Lee? What are you doing? How you doing? Look at the shape of Lee Syatt tonight.
Lee's the color of a peach.
Lee is on fucking fire.
His face looks like a fruit.
I went to the beach and I put sunscreen on 3 times in 3 hours.
You did.
I'm just so white that nothing, I just can't go anywhere.
You are pretty pale.
Yes, that's right.
I'm olivey compared to you.
So, what's your next plan? Jessamine, what are you looking to do? Promote your own show? Produce your own show now?
Yeah, I'm writing 3 different shows just to get out there and pitch them and sell them. And I'm taking, you're going to be proud of me. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm taking 8 weeks off of the road. 8 weeks.
And what are your plans? I'm taking, after Philadelphia, I have maybe 7 weeks off.
Yeah.
I have 2 weeks off in June. I go to Vegas with Joe. I'm doing the 8th with Joe. That's one night. I come right back. I go to surgery
on
Monday.
Maybe I'll go
July.
Maybe I'll go and check
July
you guys out.
July 8th on a Friday night before UFC 200.
I've been trying to catch you guys.
Monday I come. Saturday I come back. I don't even stay for the fights.
Yeah.
I'm with my family Sunday. Monday I go over to the hospital. They break my nose. They clear out the old coke rocks. And I'm breathing by fucking 2 weeks later. I'll do the ice house. And then I do Denver, Oklahoma, casino. I do something else. Nashville. Then I got like 3 weeks off. Then I go to New York and Austin. Then I got 2 weeks off. And I go to, I need my time. I need my time, my family. I need my time to live my life. I like the road. I love performing. I love taking pictures. I don't sell shirts. I just hang out with people afterward. But you have to live. And I know that the more towns I do, the quicker my exit from what I'm doing. Then the club start calling you and say, listen, only 10 people showed up. We want you to come in here for $3 and a fucking dream. And that's what a lot of comedians are living through now. You know, for the guys that are selling tickets, you have to be very grateful because it's a short window.
Yeah.
And the other comics are, there's a lot of comics who aren't selling tickets.
Yeah.
And they still go in there and they fucking cling it up. You know, I always use Dave Attell. People don't want to go see Dave Attell no more. He's probably the best comic working.
He's one of the best comics out there.
So just because you're not popular doesn't mean you're good. Meanwhile, you're wasting your fucking hard earned money, but I want to see some fucking fake fucking comic from some stupid fucking TV show.
Please stop.
That's never done stand up in his life, but David Tell is starving up there in Long Island. Not really starving, but nobody's going to see him. He's a great talent because we have trends and we have who's hot and who's not hot.
Pop culture.
And pop culture.
And the industry pushing out the
And I do the same thing with music. I've said it a thousand times. I don't want to go see Sabbath. And Rudy Sarzo sat there and said, why not? They've been doing it for 40 years now. How good are they? And if you look at Sabbath, if you look at fucking all the Sabbath tapes on YouTube, it's not Ozzy that sounds spectacular. It's Sabbath that sounds. It's Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler.
Ozzy sounds like he's screaming through a hemorrhoid storm.
Ozzy sounds like fucking Ozzy, you know, and you don't know who's singing. Last night I watched those American Music Awards. I watched bits and pieces. Oh, I was sitting there trying to kill time. I just want, listen, you're old. You don't know what's really happening. I was embarrassed for America last night.
You were, because how really bad it was.
Well, Britney Spears is lip-syncing. You look at Britney Spears, she sold 140 million.
It was pretty obvious.
It was pretty obvious. She sold 140 million albums. Somebody bought these albums. Now, I'm not here to criticize nobody, but I don't know if you people know this. The studio, she's Madonna Jr.
She is.
What somebody didn't know all those years is Madonna couldn't sing, and she proved it last night. Did you hear her singing Purple Rain? Oh, my
God. Was it bad?
It's fucking horrid. It was fucking horrid. See if you find Madonna
Purple Prince Rain. Do you want me
with
to help?
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, we're definitely going to take it off of YouTube.
Who gives a fuck?
Do you want me to help you type it?
You got to see this
shit. What should I search? Madonna
and Stevie Wonder Prince tribute. Wait till you fucking see this thing. And it just wasn't her. Justin Bieber was lip syncing because they move. They're doing that same Rhythm Nation. They're all doing the same Rhythm Nation. I told my wife, Rhythm Nation came out in what, 92? It's 2016. Yep. You're still going out with that same, you know, 16 dances flying through the fucking air. I just want to see you sing and see your lips fucking move.
Where's my money going? Where the fuck is my money
Peyton
going?
Got up on a fucking thing like a witch. With fire, like some fire. I don't need that. She looks like me. She's 80 pounds overweight, pink, and she wants to be an acrobat. Give her a fucking breather. Then that Adele, who's also another fucking fake. She can't sing
either.
Give
her a breather. Is this it here? We got to play this.
Go.
Why don't tell us about Adele?
Yeah, what about Adele?
That fucking cheeseburger eating fuck. Go, Leaf. Wait till you see this shit.
Oh, God, I'm
so... Wait till you hear her fucking voice. Look at what she looks like, for starters.
She looks like a Muppet.
Look at her. Look at her. 'Cause nothing compares.
Nothing compares to you. Prince wrote this song.
Look at her. Look at her. Now, I love Madonna. I bought the first three fucking albums. I love Like a Virgin. But a lot of people got a big surprise and they went to see it. She can't sing. It was all fucking studio thing. Look at her. Are you fucking crazy? And you got Stevie Wonder. He's like, why am I here? Look at him. He looks like Marlon Brando, Apocalypse Now. Look at him. I don't even know where the fuck he's at. He's like, I didn't even like motherfucking Prince. That little motherfucking wormy fucking...
Most of all, thank you,
horrible.
Prince
Rogers horrible.
Nelson.
Turn this shit off. Horrible.
Oh, my God. That's so bad.
What?
Why are we applauding mediocrity?
Because that's what we're doing now. This was so fucking bad.
That's what's happening in this culture. Everything is so bad.
Fucking bad.
And we're clapping our hands and we're like, yay.
And what I'm trying to say is the more you go to these Captain Marvel movies, the more they're going to keep
making. You're supporting that monster machine.
That whole stupid shit. They're killing everything. And you sit there and go, who goes to see these fucking things? Anyway, what cities are you going to next? Are you fucking sexy savage, you?
I don't even know where I'm done for a while, man.
You're done like Lee. You're here for the next 8 weeks?
I'll be in Long Island at the end of July. I'm going to be in Mohegan Sun the first few days of September. But other than that, for the summer, I'm buckling down and I'm writing the shows I really want to work on. Because I want to create I'm going to write my own shit. Do something I want to do. I'm not out there to be rich. I'm not out there to be famous. I'm out there just to bring my truth to people, and hopefully they want it. You know, I don't want to be up there telling some dumbass jokes because people, you know what I mean? Like, I want to speak my truth. I don't want to be a people pleaser. I just want them to like the way I present it. I don't want to present it in a way that I think other people are going to pay me for. Does that make sense? Or am I really fucking high?
No, no, no. Both. Both. Right now we're working on two fucking albums. Let me wrap this up here. Listen, man. I've been trying to get you on for a while. We're fucking up. You're always welcome here. Your family.
Thank you.
You did great tonight. I had a great time talking to you. I love you, too. Our first sponsor is on it, always on fucking point. You understand me? Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech, the Hemp Force Protein. Those are the ones I dig. And if they're fucking doing wonders for me, and I'm a fucking old man, could you imagine what they'll do for you? Shroom Tech, when I fly, the immune takes care of me. Today, before jiu-jitsu, I blasted the Hemp Force Protein with a banana and some water and some ice cubes. 32 grams of protein. You digest it nice. It's that hemp fucking thing. Give it a shot.
I'm going to have to try that shit out. They got an immune boost, too?
They have a thing when you fly. They have Shroom Tech Immune and Sport. Sport gives you more endurance. It's those mushrooms that are grown up in high altitude, so they expand your lungs.
Quadriceps.
Quadriceps. Thank you, Lee.
Look at him. Look at you. Look at me. Some
fucking knowledge from the
womb. Whoa. Look who woke up. Look who's dropping knowledge from the womb. You ready for another mushroom? Yeah.
No, what do you keep doing? No.
Because we're just eating little ones.
Doesn't
baby
he look
mushroom.
Like a cute fetus?
I have to open up a Word document, and the numbers are all jumbled up.
Okay. Look at his little left hand. It's all retarded. You see him? He's got the hook. Next thing you know, he's going to go with that guy and kill his girlfriend.
Oh, shit. Ting, 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 ting.
Anyway, go to honor.com right now and press in. Hit it, Lee.
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 10% off your first order. Always, all
right? Your first daughter.
Your first order.
Oh,
order,
I was like,
order.
Jesus.
And it gets delivered right to your door. Shroom Tech Sport. Alpha Brain with a money-back guarantee. If you want weights and kettlebells, I can't do nothing for you there. Anyway, let me explain something to you, Heap. Let me talk to you motherfuckers, all right?
Oh, my God. This is hilarious.
I'm over here thinking. I gotta think about what the fuck.
You think about it.
You eat 2 pounds of mushrooms.
You ate a human.
How much do we eat?
A human size amount of, like, a whole human worth of mushrooms. You literally, every time I look at you, you look like the different phase of life. Like the younger phases. You look like a pregnant woman in the face, and now you look like a fetus.
Anyway, let me fucking do this shit and we'll talk all night. I tell you, one hobby I was trying to do was get into wine. A couple of years ago, I don't know nothing about wine. I want to get into wine. The problem is I don't know nothing about it. I tried Cabernets and Pinots, but I couldn't find anything that I liked at the store. Then I tried this Club W. These people approached me and they said, take a look at it. And I said no at first. But I went online. It's a wine club that gives you wine recommendations based on what you like to eat or drink. They've got a thing that you test, a little simple 6-question palate quiz that asks you questions like, how do you take your coffee? Or do you like berries? Club W then matches you with the wine that you're guaranteed to love because it's tailored to your unique taste. Not only that, they deliver this wine to your house. It's great wine. It's very cheap.
It's fast. Like, I ordered some a couple weeks ago, and it's there in, like, 3 days.
What?
Not even. And it's, like, I got a really good Pinot Noir. It was, like, one of the fancy ones. And I got some other white ones for Paula. And they're great. They're great. And if you do four bottles, they cover the shipping.
That's not a bad deal. But what makes Club W different, okay? It's delivered straight to your door. We send you wine that is personalized to your palate taste through our palate quiz. Our recommendations become even more personalized with every bottle you rate. We work with top winemakers and growers from around the world directly to make our own wine, and we cut out the middleman. That's where the saving goes on to you. Our bottles are $13, and they would normally retail for $20+. You choose the type and the quality of bottles, the quantity of bottles with no membership fee or cancellation fee, and there's a 100% satisfaction guarantee. All right, we also partnered up with local artists to develop wine labels that are unique works of art. So do yourself a favor, all right? Do me a favor. Go to Club W. Club W is offering my listeners $20 off your first order when you go to clubw.com/Joey. Again, right now, Club W is offering listeners, Church of What's Happening Now, $20 off your first order when you go to clubw.com/Joey. And it even gets better. I know you all hate paying for shipping, so Club W will actually pay you your shipping on orders of 4 bottles or more. So take something off your to-do list. Just go to clubw.com/Joey to get 20% off your first order right now.
$20.
Again, $20 off your first order right now. Again, that's clubw.com/Joey. It's going to be the best choice you've made in years. I want to thank Club W. I'm going to thank Honored.com. I want to thank my main girl, Jezime Peluso, for coming on and just talking shit.
Thank you, sir, not trying
to promote dumb shit. She was a fucking great guest.
Just trying to
And
live
my man
life.
Lee Syed for always being a soldier. He's over there nodding and fucking foaming on himself.
He fell asleep in the middle.
I know, please.
That.
He fell asleep a couple times.
I was over asleep.
Yes, you were. You were fucking drooling. You were making those
You look
noises.
Good, though.
You were making those beep, 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 beep with your fucking mouth.
Yeah, he was.
How many tacos are you going to eat tonight? How many potato tacos are you going to eat? Tell me the truth.
Milkshake.
What'd you eat for dinner? A turkey sandwich. What'd you eat for dinner?
I had some mac and cheese. Almond mac and cheese.
Oh, aren't you fucking
Jesus.
Lucky? Did she dope it up?
Yeah, it was really good.
What'd she dope it up with?
With like the cheddar cheese that Terry did and then the breadcrumbs.
Oh, shit. And that's all you ate? Nothing else? No steak? No pizza at all?
No protein?
No steak pizza at all? Nothing?
No, I didn't have any steak.
You just carved it up, the chicken breast.
I knew it was going to be a heavy night.
It's going to be a heavy night. That's right. It's going to get heavier, cocksucker. All right, you church motherfuckers. I'll see you Wednesday night, 8 p.m. We'll be back. I'll be at the Funny Bone in Nebraska. Are you fucking kidding me or what? The Omaha Funny Bone, June 10th and 11th, and I'm at the Philadelphia motherfucking Helium 2 weeks later. Figure it out. Like the 25th or some shit. I don't have the dates etched in my fucking brain.
That's a great club.
I love you,
Joey Diaz.
You're beautiful. I was looking at you for the first time. I'm like, fucking Jezebel's beautiful. You work with these girls, your sisters, you don't look at them. You start looking at cheekbones and shit. You're like, Jesus fucking Christ.
You're my brother.
I hear you. That's why I love you, baby girl. Thank you very much for coming on the church. Thank you guys for listening. I'll see you guys Wednesday at 8. Stay black.
This show was brought to you by Club W. Right now, Club W is offering our listeners $20 off of your first order when you go to clubw.com/Joey. That's clubw.com/Joey. And Club W is going to pay for your shipping when you get 4 bottles or more. That's right. When you get 4 bottles or more, Club W is going to pay for your shipping. Just go to clubw.com/Joey. And the show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to save 10% off all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Lee, kick that fucking mule, cocksucker.
That was fun. That was a
taking hand, the shit that had you choked down. A little city, chilling in the North Bay. Needless to say, my boys don't play fool. Yorkside, and you know how the song goes. In the back, sipping purple chongos. Don't look for trouble, but it always seems to find us. 40 gripping panties, sipping at a seat right behind us. Quick left, one blow, KO. Hit the road to the next episode. In the saga of a few fellas. Oh, what the hell? I guess I better tell ya. It's Friday night, I got a brand new kit on. A fentanyl for me to get bent on. Hit the country club to pick up ML. 80 West, back to the hotel. Baby doll was gonna drop me. Set for the night, so I took her to my ride. Grabbed my Mickey and my Buddha, and I met her outside. Who ride, bro? Striking through to be seen. A Lexus 400 turned a triple gold Z's. Acid in my bottle, so I gotta get some more. Put the pedal to the metal, back to the liquor store. Cause you know what I mean when I'm feeling kinda funky. A sick honky, straight going donkey. Money in my sock, Jimmy in the glove. Laying in the Lexus, I'm about to make good love. And burn rubber up the block. Back to the telly, I gotta get some new car. New car.
a page and a broad wanna do me. Hooked it up, told her meet me at the hotel. She had a friend with her, so I called TL. Swooped me up, Sally wanna meet Dick and my lip, so try and make it real quick. Oh yeah, I jumped in the L train. But wait a minute, we gotta hit the stove, man. I got to get some gum and some Tic Tacs, two tall cans and a packet of blackjacks. We got the goods, now we're heading for the hoedown. There goes the telly, so fella won't just slow down. Park the ride in the front like a sick one. Just in case, we gotta bust a quick one. Lock the low, let's go look for like 118. But lay low, cause I really don't wanna be seen.
Is this the room?
Oh yeah, that's the right one. I got the black rod and you got the white one. So hit the light, man, I just might, man. Try and throw this thing all night and get her so sprung that she'll drop some mail so I can cut turf and hit another hotel.